And welcome back, everyone. It is episode 160 of Thirst and Goal. I am Frane. Across the room with me is Ben, and we are a show about NFL football, fun, friends, whiskey, and beer reviews. Subscribe, and you'll get everything you need to know about the NFL and become a whiskey and beer expert like us. Subscribe at our website, thirstandgoal.buzzsprout.com, or search us in any podcatcher. Ben, how are you doing today?
I am wonderful. Wonderful. Second full week after football.
No football.
It's brutal.
It is. It is.
It's brutal.
I mean, got the USFL coming, though.
Yeah, we got the USFL coming. They're trying to screw the XFL by having extended contracts that will allow that won't allow the USFL players to play in the XFL. So they're, you know, the NFL is playing all sides in this. Mm-hmm. But Franny, how was your week this week?
Monday through Thursday. Monday through Thursday flew by. Friday sort of dragged. But what about you, Ben?
Same. Yeah. Actually, it was a longer week.
We had a shorter week.
We had El Presidente Day on Monday. So that was nice, actually, to have a little bit of a longer weekend there.
Who's your favorite president?
Millard Fillmore.
Yeah, I love...
Because he's from Buffalo.
I love Millard Fillmore.
He didn't serve a full term.
What it was like president from what, 1850
to... 1850.
Yeah, 1850.
I don't know what it was. It was more recent than that.
Was it really? Millard Fillmore? I'm not sure.
I don't know. He didn't serve very long. I'm going to go with George Washington.
Oh, okay.
You know, because he set the tone for presidents not to run for multiple terms, setting the gold standard for presidents not to continue to try to be like... English kings.
That's true. Yeah.
So he did that one selfless, thing that no president since is probably.
Well, I mean, he just wanted to retire. He's like, fuck this. I'm going on vacation.
Yeah. I mean, I'm already past my life expectancy for 1780.
I'm going to Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah. Nantucket is beautiful this time of year.
Yeah. You know what, guys? Choose somebody else. I'm out. Drop the mic. Well,
exactly.
No, maybe not a mic back then, but whatever he dropped.
Yeah. There's got to be a John Adams or two around here somewhere that can run for president in the next few terms.
Hey, Franklin.
A couple of them.
Hey, Franklin. You want a job?
He probably should have been. Franklin would have been a good president.
Yeah. But he's like, no, bro. I'm also retiring.
Yeah. I got to go invent some shit.
Nah, brah.
Brah.
I'm flying a kite, brah. I'm flying a kite. Screw that, bro.
I'm going to sit under. No, that was Newton sitting under the apple tree. Yeah. Allegedly. That's how you learn.
Yeah, we get all these historical
elementary school
dudes mixed up. Yeah. They're all around that time, even though they're like 300 years apart. But whatever.
What are you drinking over there for?
You know what, Ben? I am continuing to drink the Taconic Distillery Double Barrel Maple Bourbon with a little bit of this Market Pantry Club soda and some Coke, Ben. What about you?
I like it. I am continuing to drink the Tanz, T-A-N-N apostrophe S, gin. A beautiful, clean, crisp, but mildly spiced gin from the some region in Spain, which is an interesting place to get a gin from, I will say. But it's a really nice, clean, crisp, mildly spiced gin, which I cannot recommend highly enough. I was drinking the Leopold's for a few weeks before that. I'll go back to that probably next week. Franny was nice enough to pick this bottle up for me a few months ago, and I am nursing it, so I'm going to hope to pound through this one and then pound through that Leopold's and then get on to something else. Franny, what are we going to talk about tonight?
Tonight, Ben, on the big board, we have NFL news. We also have a shout-out to our new and loyal listeners out there. We also have Franny and Ben's hot take. I have to come up with something. Like we talked about this last week, and I didn't prepare it for this week, so I better come up with something while we're talking about the NFL news. Maybe there's something in NFL news.
It's a genuine hot take,
because
it'll be hot off the presses.
Exactly.
Off of your brain synapses.
Yeah, doesn't happen very often. And we also have our feel-good story, Ben. Just love that lead-in and lead-out music, Ben. And we also have our shot of the week. It is Girl Scout cookie season, and tonight's shot is thin mint.
Thin mint.
It's a thin mint.
I'm a tag-along
type
guy.
I like the... The Samoas. The Samoans,
ooh, Samoas are good, Samoas, too.
Those are good. Those are really good. You know, a lot of people aren't coconut fans. I don't mind it in that cookie.
One of the few baked goods that I will eat that has coconuts in it.
Yeah, that's a good one. Because you can't really taste the coconut.
Yeah, more than the Thin Mints. The Thin Mints are old school, too old school, yeah, traditional.
Yeah, but they're good. Because, tonight's shot is in honor of that. So you better like it, Ben. Yeah,
mint and chocolate together. Whoever idea that was.
Well, it's better than mint and beer, like we had a few weeks ago.
That's true.
Let's have a mint stout. Okay. It wasn't very good.
No, it was terrible. Yeah, it was one of the worst beers we've had since Boddington's.
Probably it was Guinness. Whatever you were thinking with that one. I mean, you know, nice try, but
yeah
maybe stop the production line on that one. But yeah, tonight's shot, we're calling it the Dirty Mintini, and I mean it's a beautiful looking shot. It's a nice green color. Have some chocolate sprinkles around the edge, but it's a beautiful shot, Ben. I'm sure we'll like it.
Absolutely.
But you don't like mint. Actually,
I don't mind it. It just has to be in the correct food or beverage item. I don't like it with chocolate typically. Mm-hmm. I do like it raw off the ground, and I do like it in drinks.
Yeah,
but it has to.
It's in a drink.
If it's in food, it has to be the right dish.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You better like.
I'm a little picky with my mint.
Okay, I'm going to stay away from mint now, but I'm sure this will be good. And we also have our beverage of the week, Ben. You were nice enough to pick me up an Aberfeldy 18-year-old for my birthday, Ben. My birthday was on Monday. I'm still depressed that I'm this old.
Yeah.
And it just
whatever.
It keeps on coming around year after year. It's like I get it older every single fucking year. It's annoying. Why can't we go backwards? Why can't we go backwards 1 year?
We should get the last 2 years back.
Yeah, exactly.
There should be. Can I get a refund?
I should only be 36 right now.
I need Franya. I need Sonia's friend who can get a refund on an item she didn't even buy to go to Father Time and get us a refund on the last 2 years.
And then we have our beer of the week, Ben, from Deschutes Brewery. We've had other beers from Deschutes. It's their Mirror Pond Pale Ale. It is from Bend, Oregon. And we've had, you know, other offerings, and we've liked all of them, and I'm sure we'll like this one as well. It had a high rating on the shelf from Total Wine. It was in the 90s. We do enjoy our pale ales, Ben, so I'm sure we'll enjoy this one. Can't wait to try that, and then we have our housekeeping to finish up the show.
All right, Franny, what's first up on the big board?
First up, Ben, is the NFL news.
Oh, the NFL news. This is one of my favorite times of year, even though we don't have football.
I know.
I would much rather have football, but being able to gossip and talk about the rumors and the innuendo and all of the actual hard facts that are going on in the NFL in the offseason, it gives us a little bit of a break and makes us want football to start. Although I was standing in my driveway the other day and I realized it's 6 months away.
I know. But it flies. I mean, look how quickly the season flew by. I mean, it seems like just a couple weeks ago we were talking about week one and how excited we were.
Yeah.
And then, you know, bam, Rams are the champions.
Yeah, yeah. And now Sean McVay is getting a giant new contract, says he's not going over to Amazon, not taking that $100 million plus deal that they were allegedly going to offer him.
I'd probably take it.
Which tells me the Rams probably offered him something close.
But from his post-game interviews, I would not want to listen to the guy on TV.
Oh, can you imagine?
No,
he'd be like John Gruden times 10.
Yeah, I know. He's a little too fired up. I mean, you know, like he seems like he's on crack at times. And I'm like, dude, just like chill.
Yeah,
you know?
He's got like a little
you're
sort
in California.
Sort of a meth, coke, highball on the sideline.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what the guy fucking sounds like. And it's like, dude, just chill. You're in L.A. Just
and his voice is a little high. A little high for television, maybe.
I'm not sure if it's high, but it's just like you said, like way too fired up.
Yeah. Although Troy Aikman looks like he's moving over to Monday Night Football. They may have finally solved their Monday Night Football problems.
I like Troy Aikman. He's one of the few Cowboy players that I don't mind listening to in the broadcast booth. I mean, Romo, I fucking hate.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's a shot.
I mean, why is that a shot? Okay, should we start off with a new shot? Since we have
I guess we're going to have to.
I mean,
that was pretty blatant. Usually I grasping at straws a little bit, and I exaggerate when you should be doing a shot. But with this I think I'm correct. I hate Tony Romo.
Because he's
evil,
an ex-Cowboy.
It's a pretty evil thing to say about the best broadcaster in the United States in football.
Well, okay. Is it bad to say that I was happy when he broke his clavicle?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Well, not when he was playing because it's in your division. If Joe Burrow had gone down, you know, in week three again, I wouldn't have been that upset.
Well, cheers to you, Ben. This is our punishment shot. And we signed a contract in blood many years ago. If I say anything negative about a team in my division or former players that are in the broadcast booth now, then I take a shot. I guess that was added. I didn't read those extra pages. Thanks.
Well,
a lot
he's
for
a Cowboy. I said something about Antonio Brown when he was out.
Yeah, but that was
when
part
he wasn't
of the
even
original,
playing.
That was part of the original contract. Le'Veon Bell.
Once a
Antonio
Cowboy,
Brown.
Always a Cowboy.
That's true. If I say anything negative about a team in my division, which is the NFC East, then I take a shot. Ben, if you say anything negative or overly positive about a team in your division, which is the AFC
North,
then you take a shot. Or Sonia, who used to be on this podcast
in 2019,
many moons ago, if she says anything negative,
been a couple years now.
About a team in her division, which is the NFC West, then she takes a shot.
Let's do it.
Ben, this is a new punishment shot.
It looks awful.
Ellington Reserve.
I mango, love that plastic cap, that white plastic cap it's got.
Mango flavored whiskey. We've had peach, we've had apple, we've had spice,
cherry,
vanilla, cherry, apple, pretty much all of the fruits.
Cinnamon.
Yeah. So, this is a new one, mango. We never had that before.
Let's do it.
Cheers. That's interesting. That is interesting.
That's not that great.
It's not good, but it's not terrible.
It's not bad. It's not awful.
It's not awful, but it's not.
It definitely tastes
would...
like mango.
It doesn't really taste like mango, though. Which is
well,
funny.
For me, it does. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. You're not eating the right type of mangoes.
That's true. That's true. Know. That is a. It's a pretty. That's like a spoiled mango that's been sitting in punch.
Yep. That's what it tastes like.
Ooh. All right, Franny. Back to the NFL news.
Yeah, went off on a tangent there. But hey. Yeah, Romo sucks. Fuck him. I just had a shot. I already said it. I took a shot for that.
All right.
And there's a lot of people out there that don't like Romo. I'm not the only one. There's a
I
lot
know.
Of people
mailed
coming
it in.
Out.
He mailed it in a few games this season.
He's like, I'm making a lot of money. Fuck this. I don't care.
Well, I mean, Chris Collinsworth works really hard, but he's still terrible at it.
No, but Chris Collinsworth, even though he's an Eagles hater, is better than Tony Romo.
No.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. I mean, no. I mean, Chris Collinsworth doesn't say anything critical of anyone at any time. Mm. Ever.
Now, this is a guy. I love this guy.
It's like
I love everything he does.
It's just like a diarrhea of compliments. Like, you got to be a little bit critical. You're with Al Michaels. He doesn't really know a lot about the game, but he's a great sort of color person. You need to give, someone like Al Michaels a little bit more of a critical eye on the game. But first up, Christian McCaffrey trade. Bring on the charade.
I like this, Ben. I mean, I forgot about these titles.
I might run out of gas on these.
I don't think so. You're never short on words.
Oh,
no,
shots,
no, I'm saying,
shots fired.
No. I'm saying, but that's a good thing, though. Like, I wish I had that.
You have the gift of gab.
No, I don't.
You do.
No,
when you drink
so.
A little bit, you do.
Maybe.
When you drink a lot, you do.
When I drink a lot, then I go to bed.
When I drink a lot.
I'm just like, you know what, guys, I'm done.
I don't drink a lot very often, but when I do.
I go to bed.
I go to bed. few would argue that when healthy, Christian McCaffrey ranks within the top running backs in the NFL. Of course, as the Carolina Panthers and several fantasy owners know, CMC has rarely been at full strength the past two seasons, having played just 10 out of a possible 33 regular season games. Basically, the evidence is there. At his best, McCaffrey is MVP calendar talent, yet obviously CMC hurts his team immensely if he's sitting on the bench inactive. Trading CMC might be general manager Scott Fitterer's best trade chip if the Panthers want to solve their quarterback conundrum, hoping to either move on from Sam Darnold, don't move on from Sam Darnold, or add a better solution. The biggest obstacle to McCaffrey trade is the cap hit the team would suffer from parting ways with McCaffrey in 2022. Christian McCaffrey's contract in 2022, $18.5 million dead salary cap hit if he's traded before June 1. Cap savings of $4.2 million if they're able to move the running back. There is a way around taking that $18.5 million penalty to their 2022 salary cap if they can reach a contract restructure prior to him being dealt, which is almost certainly what they would do. Franny, what say you about the Panthers potentially looking to get some more chips by moving on from the oft-injured McCaffrey that some team that's on the cusp of the Super Bowl or a playoff run might be willing to take a shot with?
Yeah, I mean, he is definitely, one of the top three running backs in the league when he's able to play, but he has been injured way too often. But they also utilize him more than, maybe not as much as Derrick Henry, but he's probably right behind Derrick Henry. But Derrick Henry is a big dude, and even he got injured this year after record-setting usage.
Yeah, I mean, he was definitely, his carries were, he was on pace to set the record, I think.
Yeah, and so, I mean, but Christian McCaffrey, though, is very similar. I mean, the Saints at least take care of Alvin Kamara. They don't use Alvin Kamara enough.
Sometimes you forget he's even on the team.
Yeah, I mean, they, like last year, they underutilized him. This year, they used him a little bit more because, well, of their quarterback situation.
Well, Taysom Hill, come on.
Yeah, yeah exactly. I mean, with Christian McCaffrey, I mean, like you said, if there's a team out there that's willing to take on that type of contract and take the risk, and, I mean, if they do, you know, risk bringing him on board, you know, just don't use him as much. He doesn't need to run the ball, you know, 20 some times a game. You know, maybe have a running back by committee, but then also paying a dude $18.5 million. You know, it's difficult to have a committee, but you know, like you said, if there's a team that's right on the cusp that can make it, I mean, this is a guy that can take over the top because the Panthers are such a different team without him than they are with him. I mean, he basically carried this team a couple years ago when he was healthy, but ever since then, he's sort of broken down.
It was 1,000. It was 1,000 and 1,000.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know what he can do, you know, through the air and on the ground is pretty amazing. You know, there are not that many backs in the league that can do what he does when he's healthy. But that's a big question. Like, even if they underutilize him or use him less than the Panthers were, has he sustained too many injuries to this point where he can remain healthy for an entire season and then risk spending that type of money on him? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, for the Panthers,
it's, and would it's he be good. Happy if he wasn't yeah. being used?
Yeah. I mean, for the Panthers,
you know, on significant snaps in each game. Well, yeah. I mean, would he be willing to make that sacrifice? Seems like he's a guy who wants to play.
Yeah. I mean, for the Panthers, it would be a good move. I mean, if they can get some good return for him. But, you know, it'd be a big risk, though. What do you think, Ben?
I agree. I mean, it's a risk, but I think if you're one of those teams that's sort of there on the cusp, you know, if the Denver Broncos, for example, are able to pull off.
Oh, the Denver Broncos.
If they were able to pull off a trade.
You're talking about the Broncos
for
now.
A quarterback. If they're able to pull off a trade for a quarterback, you know, and bring McCaffrey in.
For running back?
Obviously, Green Bay doesn't need, you know, doesn't need a running back, you know, right now. But what team do you think would be willing to sort of make that? I mean, the Patriots, to me, sound like a really interesting team that might be willing to make a move like that because they've got the cap space.
They've got a good rookie quarterback that needs a little bit of help.
Needs a little bit of help.
Yeah. What other teams are there?
But that's not a Belichick move to bring in a high price free agent.
Yeah,
no, but it's, that would be a nice landing spot for him, I think.
Yeah. Or you know, even I'm not sure what the cap space looks like with the Seahawks, even too. I mean, if Russell Wilson decides to stay there, you know, they would, that would be a two headed monster that they would have there with Carson.
Yep,
and
Carson and Penny.
And yeah, maybe drop Penny.
Penny's been there for like 4 years now, I think.
Yeah, maybe drop him. You know, you bring Christian McCaffrey in, or even
Cardinals are going to be without James Conner potentially.
Yeah,
potentially he's a free agent.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, there's some teams out there that could put. I mean, I'm not sure what the cap space situation is, but I mean, there are definitely some teams out there that could sign him.
And I wonder what Carolina's going to do with the quarterback position if they decide to move on from McCaffrey, pick up some draft picks. You know, do you think they roll with Sammy Boy?
I mean,
one
started,
more year under started, who's their new head coach? I don't even remember who their new head coach is.
But I mean, you know, with Sam Darnold, I mean, he started off the season promisingly enough, but then he sort of petered out pretty quickly.
Yeah, like, yeah, because like Peterson is in with the Jags. Who ended up coming in to Lovie Smith went to the Texans. Who is the Carolina Panthers head coach?
Let's take a look.
This is pretty pathetic that we don't know that. Matt Rule.
That's
Rule.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
he had a good year last year. What am I thinking? He's
same,
not new.
Same dude.
Same dude. But I don't think he's particularly enamored with.
It's not Ron Rivera.
It's not definitely not Ron Rivera. I don't think they're particularly enamored with Sam Darnold. But I still think, you know, with Darnold and PJ Walker, if they're able to bring PJ Walker back, I think they are. I still think I'd roll with Sam Darnold for one more season if they're not going to make a run at one of these big name free agents or go out somebody, you know, the draft. I think the quarterback draft class is better than a lot of people think, but I'd be surprised if Matt Rule, you know, takes a big stab at a quarterback. I think they're going to roll with Darnold again.
Mm-hmm. I would.
But the Eagles, you guys are always collecting running backs. You guys got draft picks coming, literally coming out of your ass.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, but they're probably gonna
Nick
fuck
Sirianni
up.
Drops draft picks.
They're probably gonna fuck up every single one of them though
on the way like out of his apartment. Do.
Maybe they get lucky and get one good one, you know, in the first round. Maybe
you've got two good ones.
Yeah, well,
I mean, you've got Boston Scott, you've got Miles Sanders, you've got two good running backs on the team now that are young, that are versatile, they can catch the ball out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. But you're never happy.
Yeah, no,
you're never happy.
And I don't think that's a move that they would make, and they're not really on the cusp either.
Everybody's on the cusp now.
Nobody's on the cusp.
I mean, the Rams made it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, yeah.
The Niners Rams, almost made it.
You mean
it to
the Rams who have all the talent and all the ex players that were like stars on their other teams? Yeah, yeah. The Bengals
made it to the Super Bowl.
They did. Yeah.
It would probably a little bit, well, maybe not less talent than the Eagles, but a lot less experience.
Better quarterback. That's for sure. Better receivers.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. All right, Friday, are you ready to move on?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next up, Deshaun Watson's situation. The Texans made the wrong calculation. The coaching carousel officially has stopped. The quarterback carousel hasn't even started. At some point, the Texans and quarterback Deshaun Watson will have to part ways. The stakes are far too high this year. Watson has a fully guaranteed salary of $35 million. The Texans surely won't want to pay that amount to someone who isn't playing after paying him $10 million to not play in 2021. But who will trade for Watson while he's still facing legal jeopardy on two fronts? The criminal complaints have yet to be resolved by a grand jury. A decision is expected by April 2022, which means it's probably not going to happen until June of 2022. The 22 civil cases are still pending, and depositions are moving forward. Watson lost a motion this past week to put off his depositions. He's going to be deposed in at least 9 separate cases. To get this done, something has to give. Ultimately, it may be Houston. Between the no-trade clause, the $35 million salary, the still unsettled legal issues, and a full year of inactivity from Watson, Houston's leverage isn't getting any better. It's getting worse. And if potentially interested teams in which Watson would be interested in begin making other arrangements, it becomes harder, not easier, for the Texans to get whatever they want. Reportedly, Friday, the Texans do not plan to let him go for cheap. Per The Athletic's Jeff Howe, the Texans don't plan to lessen their asking price, which has been five to seven assets, including 3 first-round picks. At a certain point, the Texans may have to simply declare victory and take whatever they can get, even if it's a lot less than they could have gotten a year ago. Franny, what's it?
Yeah, take what you can get.
They fucked this up as badly as they possibly
immensely.
Could have.
I mean, they probably already could have had him off the books at this point.
When his first broke, or soon after.
And he doesn't want to be there. I mean, you know, nobody really wants to be there. I mean, the organization itself is, well, they're not very good. I mean, the team itself, they have almost no talent whatsoever.
Davis Mills!
Exactly. you know, I mean, they at this point, you know, if you can get, you know, 3 draft picks somehow from some team. I mean, the Eagles have it. I mean, the Eagles could definitely give them draft picks. But, you know, to ask for other players in exchange with the draft picks for a guy that doesn't want to be there. I mean, even if he does play, he's not going to be motivated to play. You know, I mean, you know, he's still going to be a good quarterback, but, you know, you're not going to go anywhere with the guy. I mean, it's basically rebuilding mode with the Texans right now as it is. Take what you can get and start from there. But I mean, I'm not sure which team out there is going to be willing, you know, to give them what they want.
We're looking at another year before this is settled, and potentially a suspension to follow that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we don't know what the punishment will be.
I mean, it's mind-boggling to me that the Texans didn't move him when they had an opportunity to do so. When the asking price was a little bit higher and there was less certainty about what the charges might be and where the civil cases might go.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they wrongfully assumed that this would be wrapped up a lot more quickly than it has been. And for them to still be thinking they're going to get 5 chips, mm-hmm. including 3 draft picks, and in addition to those 3 first-round draft picks, to get additional players or picks on top of that,
mm-hmm.
With cases that might not be settled for a year or more from today, you know, I mean, a team that trades for him would have to run up, you know, sort of headlong against the NFL and decide to start him this year and put the NFL in the position of having to let, you know, having to tell them, no, we're going to suspend him pending the outcome. Because technically right now he is able to play. He could have played for the Texans this year.
Mm-hmm.
It would have put the NFL in a position of having to make a decision about whether he can, in fact, play. But if a team trades for him before June, you know, and they wait. I mean, do you trade 3 draft picks and then wait another 6 months to a year before he sees the field? And he may not see the field at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and also, I mean, even if he does see the field, what kind of quarterback is he going to be?
But 2 years, you know, potentially off.
Exactly. I mean, he's going to be a little rusty. just a little bit. I mean, is he going to be the same quarterback that he was when he was playing, or is he going to be like some rusty dude off the shelf that's, you know, sort of got some cobwebs, and, you know, then it takes him another year to get back to the level that he was when he's allowed to play once again? You know, I mean, so I'm not sure how many teams are willing to take that risk and give up that many draft picks, leverage their future for a guy that they haven't seen play football for 2 years now.
Yeah, I mean, the only team, I mean, I can't believe I'm saying it, but the only team I could conceivably imagine doing this would be Denver, because they have fucked up the quarterback position for, you know, before John Elway, or before after John Elway, and before Peyton Manning, and after Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. They have completely butchered the quarterback position so badly there. I think that might be the one team that would say, throw their hands up and say, at least we know what we're getting here. We'll give you the 3 first-rounders. We'll give you a couple players, or a couple 5th-round or 6th-round picks, and we'll take the chance. And we know that we won't do better than Deshaun Watson whenever he decides to show up, or whenever he's able to show up. That might be the only team I could see doing it. Mm-hmm. Because they know that whatever quarterback they have 2 years from now will still probably suck.
Yeah.
Unless they can move for, you know, Rodgers or Wilson or...
Yeah. One,
but I just don't see anyone doing that.
Guys landing over there. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, Wilson... You know, Russell Wilson wants to go somewhere where he's going to be on television, where he's going to get a lot of attention, where he's going to get a lot of airtime, and that's not Denver.
Mm-mm.
It's not Seattle. It's not Denver.
Well, I mean, in Seattle, I mean, he's been there for some time, and so I mean, the franchise with Russell Wilson, I mean, they're televised more now than they were in the past. So I mean, he still gets a lot of airtime.
Yeah, I mean, it's rare, but it's rare to see him on a national game. Especially, and they won't get money this year because of how they played
last year. Yeah.
You know, the Steelers, the Cowboys, even the Eagles are going to get, you know, a couple Monday night games, a couple Sunday night games. Steelers probably get 3 or 4 primetime games. God knows the Cowboys will.
Yeah, for some reason. fuck. Is that a shot?
Yeah, it's a shot. And see, I didn't have to say anything.
Damn it.
But the
Mango.
The Seattle Seahawks, they just don't drive the audience the way that the Steelers do, the Cowboys do, even the Giants do, the Eagles do. A lot of the teams in the NFC East, and
just walk right into these,
you know, the Rams, even the 49ers. I mean, but the Seahawks just don't drive audience share the way that some of those other teams do. So he's never going to be that primetime star that Ben Roethlisberger was, winning nearly every primetime appearance in his career.
All right, fuck the Cowboys.
There we go.
All right, cheers.
NFC East champs.
Mango.
Mango.
Yeah.
That is.
I think I need a break, Ben. I think a couple of shots drinking now. I mean, it's like, I think I might need a break before we talk about our next topic.
Are you serious?
I'm serious, yeah.
All right.
I probably should have used the
facilities.
The facilities before we started the podcast. I thought I could hold off for the, you know, the NFL news portion, but we can take a quick break.
Yeah, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with the rest of the NFL news.
Oh. All right, and we are back after our short potty break, Ben.
Yes, Frane and his kidney bean-sized bladder are back at the table.
Hey, last couple of weeks, I've been pretty good. You've been the one asking for the potty breaks, right?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Next up, the Steelers QB. Who will it be?
Not Ben Roethlisberger. Don't cry.
I want to cry.
Yeah.
With Ben Roethlisberger allegedly retired, the Steelers will enter a season with a new starting quarterback for the first time in 18 years.
Man.
There's a ton of time before week one, and the off-season quarterback carousel hasn't even begun to spin. But at this point, there's one man in line to take over as Pittsburgh QB1, Mason Rudolph. If we started the season today, Mason would be our starter, said outgoing general manager Kevin Colbert on Monday. Pretty good year to go out, I suppose.
Yeah, I know.
He's 5-4-1 as a starter, and they're excited to see what's next for Mason. A third-round pick in 2018, Rudolph shot up the charts and started 8 games for Pittsburgh in 2019 when Roethlisberger missed all but 2 games due to an elbow injury. Rudolph completed 62% of his passes for 1,765 yards, all 3 to 4-yard completions. with 13 touchdowns, 9 interceptions that season as Pittsburgh went 5-3 in his starts. Overall, Rudolph has thrown for 2,366 yards with 16 TDs, 11 picks in 17 games. Rudolph signed a 1-year extension last April, putting him under contract with Pittsburgh through 2022. Colbert mentioned the club plans to tender pending restricted free agent Dwayne Haskins, excuse me, which will give Pittsburgh 2 QBs. But the team also plans to bring in more contenders. Frane, what say you?
I know.
About the Steelers quarterback situation.
It is not very
choking
good.
Choking on a cough drop over here.
Not very good, Ben. I'm not sure what the Steelers have been doing the last couple of years. Knowing that Ben Roethlisberger is getting older, he will retire, and they sort of stuck around.
But we never
around.
Really knew if he would.
Yeah, but I mean, still, he's old. I mean, you got to move on. I mean, eventually, he's going to stop playing football. I mean, that's sort of the way things happen.
Does he have to, though?
He's no Tom Brady. That's for sure.
Yeah.
He doesn't take care of himself the same way that Tom Brady takes care of himself.
Put some ice on it, baby.
But I mean, Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins are the next guys up. I mean, they had time to prepare for this, and they haven't done anything with the time.
No.
I've been
very frustrated with that.
We've seen, what Mason Rudolph can do in the league, which is not much. I mean, he's basically a decent backup quarterback. Dwayne Haskins, maybe at best, is like a third-string quarterback. I know he was taken early in the draft and everything, but, he's never really proven anything in the league. I would kind of like to see what he can do, but, I mean, what we've seen so far...
He's sort of going the Ryan Leaf route.
I'm not convinced that he's a starting quarterback in this league. Unless the Steelers can bring in, a big name free agent, which I don't even see happening, like, Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. I don't see either one of those guys going over there. I think the best option for the Steelers right now would be maybe trying to get Jimmy G. Because
I'm serious.
Yeah, but he's better than what you have right now.
Actually, Jimmy G's better than a lot of quarterbacks in the league.
Well, he's better than what you... I mean, he's not better than a lot of quarterbacks, but
he's better than
two guys that you have right now. And he's I don't know if he's better than Kirk Cousins.
Oh, way better.
I don't know about that. I mean, Kirk Cousins' numbers are better. Not his winning percentage, but his numbers on the field are better.
which is... That's the most important.
But I think that's all...
The most important... It's not important how many games you win. It's important how many yards you throw in the games that you lose.
But also, that's right. The coaching staff and the way a team is coached is also, Shanahan is way better than Zimmer. It's like night and day between those two guys.
That's true.
That's the only guy that'll really go after in free agency, unless you get very, very desperate and go after Carson Wentz for some reason. Or maybe, you find a diamond in the rough, in the draft. Somewhere and find
there's
some
diamonds
maize.
In there.
There better
there's some,
be.
There's some chunks of coal that have diamonds inside.
You just have to hack that away. Hack away the coal. Get that diamond that's hiding inside. Rolling with what the Steelers have right now, they have not. I mean, just thinking back, the history of the Steelers, you guys haven't had really that many good quarterbacks. Really.
No, we've only had two.
Yeah.
We've only had two.
I was about to say something positive about, the Steelers,
Steelers vaunted quarterback
history.
But
you know what? You guys haven't had that many good quarterbacks. Two. And you know what? This shows that you guys don't know what the fuck a good
Since
quarterback
1933,
is.
We
got lucky
two.
With Ben Roethlisberger. And before that, there was nothing other than, Bradshaw.
Neil O'Donnell.
Mike
Tomczak.
And then now after
Tommy Maddox, Bobby Brister.
Who knows how long it's going to take to find a good quarterback for the Steelers.
And that's why I think the Steelers are going to be really aggressive in going after a free agent.
Which one?
I didn't believe it in the past, but the more I hear out of Kevin Colbert, the more cryptic the statements coming out of Steelerland, from the general manager, from Mike Tomlin, from Art Rooney, I'm starting to think they may make a push for an Aaron Rodgers or a Russell Wilson.
Yeah,
not a Deshaun Watson, probably because
I don't see. I could see Russell Wilson possibly move into the Steelers. Aaron Rodgers, there's no chance
because he doesn't want to play for the Steelers.
Yeah, exactly.
What you think he's better off?
No. I'm saying
in
actually, yeah, he's
losing
better off,
games
yeah.
in Green Bay.
Oh well, he's better than losing games in Pittsburgh.
How is that better?
No, I'm saying I'm like the situation.
That was a fucked up thing just now.
Playing in the AFC North, where you have one of your teams that just went to the Super Bowl. You have Baltimore, and you have the Browns, which you don't know what to expect from the Browns next season. When you can play against the Detroit Lions twice a year, and you can play against Chicago twice a year, yeah.
Well, but that's why he loses in the playoffs because he. Gets used to these
games. Yeah, but he might not even make it into the
long.
Playoffs. He might not make the playoffs against, a strong division.
What? Yeah. You say Aaron Rodgers doesn't have the talent to make the playoffs in the AFC North?
Maybe not.
Maybe not. But I think
it's much easier in the NFC North.
Eagle. Well, I mean, the Lions will be a little stronger this year. The Vikings will be the Vikings.
They might win 5 games.
The Bears with Justin Fields. Nobody knows what they'll get out of Justin Fields.
I know.
They've got a new head coach. The Vikings have a new head coach, so it's a changing of the guard a little bit. Uh-huh. Dan Campbell over in Detroit.
So it's even worse.
it could be worse, but it could be setting up to be a division that is much more competitive moving forward.
And the Steelers don't have the money to pay Aaron Rodgers.
No, reportedly he said he wanted $50 million a year in his next contract, and then he said, "I never said I wanted $50 million a year," which means he said,
"I said 49." I said 49.999.
He said it's unequivocally not the case. I don't believe him. I don't believe he understands what unequivocally means. I think he wants. I think he believes that he understands what unequivocally means, but I think he wants $50 million a year, and there's no way a team like the Steelers is going to give it to him.
No,
but I could see them riding with him for a season or two. I think he's got two more years on his deal I think he's got two more years on his deal. I could see the Steelers potentially making a run at Rodgers or Wilson. Not Watson, probably, because of the issues with the legal system.
Ahead of Rodgers, but I would say Jimmy G ahead of those two guys. Only because of his salary. He's not going to be asking for a lot of money. He's just going to be happy to play for a team. Giving up picks or players, you know, if they have to, it's the Niners aren't going to ask for that much. They're really not. I mean, they've been done with him for a while now for some reason.
I know.
They're just take anybody.
It's like the car you get into every morning and you're just trying to save money and you hate the fucking car. It's a great car. You just want a new car you hate the car.
It's like one of those old cars.
It's like Honda with 250,000 miles on it. You know it's going to keep running.
It has like a choke on it. It's cold outside. You got to play around with it. You know, you got to pull the string. let's get this thing going. Come on. But once it gets going,
Jimmy G's is not much of an upgrade.
It's like a diesel.
He's not much of an upgrade, though.
But anybody is an upgrade over what you currently have. Any starting quarterback right now in the league, except for, Mills. Or
Davis Mills might be an upgrade over Rudolph.
I don't know.
He might be an upgrade over Mason
Rudolph. I don't know about that. I mean, Mason Rudolph might be the worst. Actually, Baker Mayfield is not that much better either, actually. We look at Baker Mayfield.
But at least he can run for a first down.
That's true.
I mean, Mason Rudolph cannot run for a first down. Can't throw for it either. But he can't run for a first down.
Yeah, you have a quarterback that can't run, that can't throw.
Isn't that the total package?
He's good at being a fucking douchebag, though. I mean, he's really good at that.
Yeah, I think they're going to make a run at somebody big. Mm-hmm. Mm. I think they'll
make a run, but I don't see it happening.
Otherwise, we're back in the same, quarterback carousel that we were in all through the 80s and 90s. You know, the same quarterback carousel that Denver has struggled with.
If you do get one of those quarterbacks, you need to build that offensive line. The defense is fine. You know, the receiving core is decent. But that offensive line, you can't go out there and get a big name player and expect him to play behind that offensive line.
Yeah. I mean, I know Juju thinks said he wants to go to the Chiefs, but if you bring in a Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers, I think that might lock up somebody like Juju to come back for another season. It allows us to build out that offensive line with later round picks and in free agency as well, because we've got plenty of cap space this year. And, we've got two solid linemen that we know are for a fact are coming back. Dwayne Brown from the Seahawks is going to be a free agent. He might be willing to come over to a team like the Steelers who has cap room. And I think we might be able to really build that offensive line, to a serviceable point. They got better towards the end of the year. Not great, but they were better towards the end of the year. And I think the Steelers, if they're smart, and from what I'm hearing about Mason, that tells me that they're potentially looking to pull the trigger on a bigger deal, knowing that they don't want to spend another 20 years in Mike Tomczak, Bubby Brister, Cordell Stewart purgatory, which is what they did all through the 80s. Even though they got to one Super Bowl with Neil O'Donnell, that was an exceptionally talented team with a lot of really great players and draft picks on that team. And that's not what they have right now. Mm-hmm. All right, Franny.
All right.
You ready to move on?
I don't have to go to the bathroom.
You don't have to go to the bathroom?
I'm okay. Good.
We're good?
That punched me in the face right there. That actually scared me a little bit.
All right, Friday, the NFL analysts are going to be wrong again. The 22 NFL draft is rapidly approaching, and after months of analyzing film, NFL evaluators seem to believe this could be the 2022 quarterback class could be one of the worst in many, many years. Sentiment about the eligible quarterbacks for the 2022 draft was much higher than before the 2021 college football season. While no one believed there was a Trevor Lawrence, I hope not.
Yeah, Oklahoma, I know, seriously. Trevor Lawrence lit it up this year.
Yeah, exactly. Oklahoma quarter Spencer Rattler and North Carolina star Sam Howell were potential number one picks. However, things went south for draft eligible quarterbacks this year. Rattler was benched in favor of Caleb Williams, and Howell struggled after much of the talent that surrounded him entered the 2021 NFL draft. Meanwhile, Liberty quarterback Malik Willis didn't flash consistency, and even a breakout season from Kenny Pickett didn't raise some doubts about his NFL ceiling. Other notable quarterbacks are Carson Strong, Desmond Ridder out of Cincinnati, Matt Corral out of Ole Miss. Franny, do you think there's some diamonds in the rough in this quarterback?
Probably. I mean, it really depends on the situation.
I just love it when they predict all these things and then it never pans out.
Depends on you know, where they end up. You know, I mean, if like Trevor Lawrence, for instance, I mean, you know, I said obviously he didn't light it up, but I mean, he went to the Jaguars. I mean, the Jaguars fucking suck. I mean, there's no
talent.
They
just beat the Steelers 3 years ago.
With Blake Bortles.
Playoffs.
Yeah, with Blake Bortles, yeah. But then everybody left. Everybody left. You know, I mean, it's really difficult to evaluate a quarterback's talent in college. I mean, they might, you know, like even Tim Tebow looked fucking amazing in college.
Yeah, he did.
So, I mean, but in the NFL, it didn't really translate in the NFL.
Not quite.
It's really difficult, you know, to tell how these guys are going to pan out. You know, for the Patriots, what's his face? Mac Jones. Yeah, Mac Jones. You know, I mean, he was not expected to be the best talent in this quarterback class, but
and he went
so
late.
Far, he's the best rookie quarterback this season. You know, Trevor Lawrence really didn't look good. And even for the Jets, what's his face didn't look good?
Zach Wilson,
yeah. It's funny how quick
that's his face.
What's his face? That dude, the young looking kid.
The young looking kid with the annoying mother.
Yeah.
That isn't.
That guy.
That isn't Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, although, actually, I don't know if Patrick Mahomes' mother's annoying.
You know, Fields didn't get much of a chance, but, you know, he didn't also look that great when he had his chances.
And Trey Lance.
Yeah, and Trey Lance as
and,
well.
Well, it was Jordan. It was Jordan Love's second year, and it was Jalen Hurts' second year. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, I there isn't, I don't know that there's a Justin Herbert-type quarterback coming out this year or a Joe Burrow-type quarterback coming out this year. But I like Malik Willis. I think he obviously needs a little bit. You know, he's not going to be able to run that, you know, consistent RPO in the NFL. It's just, that's just not the way the NFL works. So he's going to have to be a little bit more disciplined under center. But I do, I mean, I'll say it again. I think Carson Strong, I had a guy named Carson. I'm a little bit leery to even make that pronouncement. But right. I think Carson Strong out of Nevada is a guy that the Steelers could seriously look at. He might even be available on day two of the NFL draft, but they could definitely get him at pick number 20 if they don't move on and ultimately make a move for somebody like Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers. But I'm a big fan of Carson Strong. I know Matt Corral's got some issues with his personality and he might not be as disciplined as people might like. Desmond Ridder's a quality quarterback as well. I mean, Malik Willis is an amazing talent. When you watch him play, he reminds me a lot of a guy like Lamar Jackson. I mean, he's got immense talent. He's got a cannon for an arm. The arm is accurate when he wants it to be. But I think he still needs a little bit of, you know, discipline in the pocket. But Carson Strong is that Pittsburgh-type quarterback. He's big. He's strong. He's got a great arm. He doesn't move up. You know, he doesn't run a lot. He's not capable of running a lot. But he's that, you know, Pittsburgh run the ball, play great defense, hit your receivers down the field when they're open type of quarterback that I think the Steelers could really benefit from. So that's my prediction there anyway. But I think these guys are going to end up being pretty good.
Do you think the Steelers are going to take a quarterback in the draft? I mean, do you expect that to happen?
Yeah. I mean, I think if they don't pull the trigger on Wilson or Rodgers or Garoppolo, I think they're going to have to. I think they're going to, I mean, I hate to see them wait until day two. They'll be picking late in the draft. Some of these guys might be gone. But Carson Strong will be available at number 20 unless something crazy happens, and I think the Steelers should hop on that and take that risk. What are they going to do at number 20? They're going to take an offensive lineman, maybe. They're going to take a defensive or a linebacker, maybe. But I think that the team would be served by not going into this quarterback purgatory again for 15 straight years and hoping they hit gold with the Ben Roethlisberger a decade from now. Mm-hmm. I think Carson Strong is a good pick for them. I'll probably won't be the last time you hear that.
Nope.
Between now and April, but at least after April, you won't have to hear about it anymore.
We'll hear it next week.
Well, yeah.
And the week after that. And the week after that. Carson Strong, people. Well, remember that name, because Ben will mention it multiple times.
I mean, well, I think that you know, I know Mel Kiper and Todd McShay. I know they make a lot of money to make, you know, do their draft pronouncements. You know, and they're very often wrong. In fact, most often they're wrong.
Yeah, almost every single time.
Trevor Lawrence was supposed to be the best quarterback coming out in what? Literally in 30 years, in a generation, he was supposed to be literally the best quarterback to come out. Since Frane was drinking out of a sippy cup. Didn't happen.
Not yet.
You know, obviously, man, it is hard to remember things from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow. Solid, you know, from beginning to end last season. Well, for two games, three games last season, and then an entire season.
Or five or whatever it was.
And Justin Herbert, obviously, you know, played about as well as you could expect, you know, from a second-year quarterback. And I think he played well, obviously, last year. He went a little bit later, I think, than people expected him to go.
Mm-hmm.
But Carson Strong will be there at number 20 from Nevada. Prototypical Steelers-type quarterback. I just don't see the Steelers... I just don't see the Steelers adopting a wild running quarterback type of style. It's just not who they are, mm-hmm. and I just can't see them you know, taking on a Lamar Jackson type of offense, or you know, a Malik Willis if they brought him over. I just don't see the Steelers doing that and being that sort of wild RPO, you know, seat of the pants type of offense that Baltimore runs.
Mm-hmm. All right,
Brian's like, what the hell?
No, I mean, maybe they're not.
Well, you guys should be in the market for a quarterback.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, definitely.
If you got three first-round picks, do you think the Eagles are going to take a run at one of these quarterbacks in a first or second round?
It doesn't
look like they're sold on Jalen Hurts, and it doesn't look like, from looking at your face, it doesn't look like you're sold on Jalen Hurts.
No, I mean, his accuracy issues and his decision-making, you know, it doesn't look promising. You know, I mean, he played a little bit last year. He played all season this year, and it doesn't look like he's made much of a gain, you know, year over year. And, you know, I like his maturity, you know, the fact that he does want to win. I mean, he has that drive. He has that lust to win. But, you know, he lusts to win, Ben.
He lusts to win.
I lust.
It's the Thornbirds.
I mean, he wants to, but it's like...
Fabio.
I don't know if he has...
Behind, under center.
I just don't know if he has the talent to do it, though. You know?
I mean, but do you think they should take a run at one of these guys? That you got draft picks dripping out of
I'm actually not sure what the Eagles are going to do. I mean, because
that's a lot of picks.
They have a lot of picks, and they could go after, you know, a big name free agent with the picks that they do have.
This is like giving a teenager $1 million and saying, be prudent with it. Yeah, Howie Roseman.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what they're going to do. I'm not sure if they're just going to take those three first rounders and, you know, just pick, you know, whoever. Or if they're going to take those three first rounders and make a move after, you know, go after a big free agent. And I'm not sure how many of these big free agents would be willing to play in Philadelphia right now.
Why wouldn't they? I mean, your defense is still pretty solid. It got better last year. You got a decent running game. You still have a decent offensive line, and it's going to get better in the offseason.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I seriously have no idea what they're going to do. I mean,
you need help in the receiving core.
It could go either way. Fucking Jalen Reagor. What are you talking
Obviously,
about?
Obviously, you got Devontae Smith. You've got Dallas Goedert, but if you brought in another piece or two, you bring in a guy that can really play out of the slot. You've got the deep threat in Devontae Smith, and you got Dallas Goedert, and maybe if you bring in one more guy, I think the Eagles are an enticing location for a quarterback.
Yeah,
because
I don't see it happening.
What would you do with the three first round picks?
I mean,
I mean, it's like gold.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I would definitely take an offensive lineman. I'd probably take they need a safety. They need linebackers. I mean, there's a lot of positions that we need to fill. And you know, with Jalen Hurts, you know, he can. I mean, obviously they went to the playoffs this year.
As a wild card, you didn't win the sorry NFC East. You got it as a wild card, so it was a little harder.
It doesn't matter. We got there, Ben.
But I mean, it was you know, but in other words, you know, the NFC East wasn't particularly good, but you were able to overcome and win and beat out teams from other divisions.
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually, if I was the GM right now, you know, I would definitely look at what other teams are looking to trade, you know, for a big name, you know, free agent quarterback. You know, like, what are the Green Bay Packers looking for?
I would love it if Aaron Rodgers.
What are the Seahawks looking for with Russell Wilson? You know, I'd definitely look at those guys first. You know, there was talk about Jimmy G coming over. There was rumors about that. But, I think Jalen Hurts, Jimmy G, you know, I think Jalen Hurts is
that'd be terrible for Jimmy G. Same situation, right?
He fumbles
a couple games, and then before you know it, Jalen Hurts is back in the game, and Jimmy G's in the same situation.
It's not that big of a drop-off. I mean, obviously, Jimmy G has way more experience.
Winning games.
I think
I know it's more important to you how many yards they throw for and how many touchdowns they throw.
I think with the Steelers, though, you know, just your quarterback situation, it's more important for you to find a quarterback. And I think Jimmy G is definitely an upgrade over what you have right now, over what the Eagles have right now.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think the Steelers are going to make a run. I mean, I don't normally, you know, anticipate the Steelers making that kind of move, but with Kevin Colbert's last year, with the quarterbacks that they have on the roster, with the quarterbacks that they probably think are available in the draft, they probably don't have these guys ranked particularly high. I think that they feel like, you know, you've got, you know, TJ Watt, you've got Minkah Fitzpatrick, you've got that defensive line, you've got Hayward and Tuitt and the rest of those guys. It's a golden opportunity if you bring in a solid quarterback and shore up that offensive line a little bit. I think the Steelers could really make a run deep into the playoffs if they have the right quarterback. And I think Art Rooney might realize that. Kevin Colbert might realize that. And I think they're going to make a push.
I hope so.
Friday's like, I hope so.
I hope so.
I wish I had Jalen Hurts on the team.
I don't know about that.
All right, Friday, last up this week. I just wanted to go through a few of the important dates for our fans and listeners out there that are wondering what's happening in the NFL now that we're all the way into March. The fun starts for the NFL season in March. We have
someone smoking weed.
Yeah. I actually smell a little bit of weed wafting over.
Somebody's smoking
into our yard. It's legal here in California.
Yeah, it is.
And that's a pretty hefty amount.
Yeah, it is. Actually,
that's wafting over here.
Wow. I mean, if we start slowing down during this podcast, you know why.
Exactly. I don't often smell that.
Here's some dates coming up. NFL. Bro, what are we talking about again?
Marshawn Lynch is going to be hosting the combine, I think.
You got some cupcakes.
You made some eclairs, but you didn't bring them.
Yeah, they weren't that good. I mean, I did attempt.
No, they weren't to your standards.
They were good. They were good, but they were not to my standards, Ben. I only bring over the best.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's something I could have brought you, but I didn't. Because it wasn't perfect.
No, it wasn't perfect. I wasn't happy with the result.
Yeah, you're killing me. March 1st through the 7th, we have the NFL Scouting Combine at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Indiana. That should be fun to see some of these guys, see how some of these quarterbacks perform, and hopefully they surprise the Steelers and Steelers make a move there. March 8th, it's a deadline for clubs to designate franchise or transition players. That'll be interesting to see who the team's franchise on March 8th. There's some guys out there that are looking for contracts that are going to get franchised that are not going to be happy about it. I can't wait to see what happens on franchise tag day. March 14th to the 16th, clubs are permitted to contact and enter into contract negotiation with certified agents of players. In other words, this is the beginning of the free agency contract period with the free agents that are on the teams. On March 16th, the league year begins and the free agency period begins at 4:00 p.m. New York time. So this is when the frenzy to sign free agents happens. Only 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks from today. Can't wait for that. March 16th, trading period. Well, sorry, just read that out. 27 to 30, the annual league meeting where they're going to talk about some proposed rule changes and other things. It'll be interesting to see what kind of rule changes come out and what kind of proposals are made.
How can we make the league worse?
Yes, how can we make the league worse? How can we fix the thing that we broke last year? How can we
make it worse?
How can we not bring replay for the plays that people really want to have replay for? How can we make the officials even more incompetent and have little to no checks and balances on them? On April 4th, clubs that hired a new head coach after the 2021 regular season may begin off-season workout programs on the 4th. On April 18th, the head coaches may begin off-season workout programs. And on April 28th to the 30th, the NFL draft will be held finally this year, will be in Las Vegas, Nevada. Franny, are you looking forward to this draft?
I never look forward to the draft because the Eagles fuck up all their picks.
I know. Our texts on draft day, you're always like, what? Yeah, Jalen Reagor? What? J.J. Arcega-Whiteside? What?
Yeah, seriously, man. So, like, these guys get paid to do this shit. I mean, there's dudes that get paid.
Justin Jefferson's not that good.
It's like, it doesn't make any sense, man.
Like, you took Devontae Smith. That was a good pick.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he was there. You know, it's like, I mean, the guys get paid to evaluate these players, and those are the picks that they made, and they still have jobs. That's amazing. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because Howie Roseman doesn't seem to be good on offense or defense.
Yeah, that kind of hurts the team. We're not good on offense or defense. Yeah, right.
You know, Mike Tomlin was able. I mean, they did bring out. I mean, it was a good point. I mean, Troy Polamalu won Defensive Player of the Year. James Harrison won Defensive Player of the Year, and now T.J. Watt won Defensive Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. All three of those guys were coached by Mike Tomlin, so that actually is pretty impressive.
Yep.
So I may have to figure out a way to say something nice about Mike Tomlin in the near future after the rants that I had
during the season,
which were not particularly complimentary of Mr. Tomlin.
Nope.
But you know, we hold our Steelers coaches to a high standard, and you know, they should do a little better than what they did this year. All right, friend, that's it for the NFL news for this week. We'll talk about the free agents. There's a whole bunch of them for next week. We'll see all the players that the Steelers and the Eagles should sign that they won't sign. Mm-hmm. That we'll talk about next week. What's next up on the big board?
Next up, Ben, is a shout-out to our new and loyal listeners out there.
Yes, thank you all so much for taking the time to listen to our humble, humble weed-wafted show tonight. All of this weed is wafting across to our outdoor studio.
It kind of disappeared. It disappeared a little bit. Or maybe we're just used to the smell now.
It's an interesting night out here in our outdoor studio. Thank you all so much for listening to the show.
Yeah, no, we got some weed. We got some mariachi music playing in the background. You know, it's a nice night.
Yeah, we're bringing to this outside where podcast should be recorded and football should be played.
Or the opposite.
Football
should be played.
And podcast should be recorded. Franny got it right. Since 2018... we've been a show about football, fun, friends, whiskey, and beer reviews. And since you're listening, please consider heading to our website, thirstygold.buzzsprout.com, or search Thirsty Gold Podcast on the web and subscribe, rate, and review the show. Please tell a friend. This is your call to action, as they say. Please tell a friend, a family member. Please, we're asking, we're respectfully requesting. Just tell a friend, a family member, a coworker, just someone that you know. We're not begging, although my tone of voice is bordering on begging. But we would really appreciate it.
Please, somebody.
If you just tell someone about our show.
On my knees, begging you.
Exactly. You know, we've really done a good job at growing our audience over the years, and it would be great if you would help us continue to do so. You can check us out on Pandora, Audible, and Amazon Music, as well as all of the other podcatchers in the universe. Stitcher, CastBox, Pocket Cast, Apple Podcasts, and the rest. Franny, what's next up on the big board?
Next up, Ben, is Franny and Ben's hot takes.
All right, Franny, what's your hot take?
I don't have one. What's your? I was thinking of one this entire time, but what about you, Ben? What's your hot take? We can talk about your hot take.
My hot take?
I'll prepare next week. I forgot that the hot take was part of the agenda. I'm going to have to come up with a hot take next week, but what's yours?
My hot take is Russell Wilson is going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers starting quarterback in September of 2022.
Really?
Yep.
Why? I mean, like, why are you so confident that the Steelers are going to go out and get him? And what makes you think that Russell Wilson is going to want to come to the Steelers?
But you know, Russell Wilson doesn't want to be in Seattle anymore. The Seattle Seahawks are perfectly happy to do away and move on from Russell Wilson. It's bad timing. My wife, the Seahawks fan, just decided to come out at this point in time. But by all accounts, Russell Wilson wants to be in Seattle, but the Seattle Seahawks would be happy to move on for him if they were able to find a replacement. They don't want to give him that giant contract that he wants. Mm-hmm. I think the Steelers have the draft pick. They've got the space on there, and you know, the salary cap space. I think the Steelers are going to make a run at Russell Wilson this offseason and bring him in.
Yeah, your wife is leering at you right now.
This was like the worst possible timing.
Maybe we should change the topic right now for the time being. Move on and then come back.
Let's do the shot of the week.
Maybe circle back to this Yeah, she doesn't seem very happy, Ben.
She's not. Well, I don't want to see it happen. I don't want to see it happen to the Seattle Seahawks. I want Russell Wilson to spend his entire career with the Seattle Seahawks. I do. But I think that the Seattle Seahawks, you know, the drama with Russell Wilson, they're ready to move on.
Your wife wants him to take a shot, by the way.
If they're able, okay.
All right.
Well, yeah. Actually, I didn't. I said. Well, she didn't say anything nasty about.
No, she didn't. But NFC. She wants you to take a shot because you're saying something nasty about her team, Ben.
All right.
You're taking her starting quarterback, and you're sleeping outside.
Yeah. Let's do it. We'll do a half
in the doghouse.
We'll do a half a shot. But what I would say is. You know, everyone knows Russell Wilson.
What do you
Wilson.
Really want to say?
Russell Wilson.
She's still there. What do you really want to say?
She's still there. I need to get this out for our audience. Everyone knows Russell Wilson.
Where's your shot glass?
He wants more TV time. He wants a bigger audience for his talents. He wants to be on, you know, a higher elevated profile in the league. He wants more Monday night games. He wants more Sunday night games. He wants more National League televised games.
Do you think that's what he really wants? Is that what he really wants?
And it's not something that's ever going to happen when he's
but
playing.
But would Ciara be happy in Pittsburgh?
Oh, see, no, you know, it's not like Seattle's not exactly, you know, Prague. I mean, it's not
Prague?
It's not New York City or Paris
or
London.
Take your punishment shot from your wife.
All right, let's do this shot. It's a big shot. Let's do the shot.
Yours is big, yeah.
All right.
That's not something she's never said, Ben.
Exactly. I'm going to do the shot.
We're going to do the shot. He's very nervous, by the way, to all listeners out there. We know who wears the pants, Ben, right now.
For sure.
You're trembling.
Well, I saw her walking.
I thought it was cold out here, but it's just your wife scaring the shit out of you.
I saw her walking, and I was like, why is this subject on the agenda coming up right now?
I know. That's why you were looking over my shoulder.
Well, because I think it's going to happen. I think the Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson are
like,
ready.
How sure are you?
They're ready to part ways.
Like, how sure are you?
I don't want them to part
0%
ways.
0% to 100%. Look at me. Yeah, I know. You can't look at your wife right now. It's funny, man.
Well, she loves Russell Wilson.
Of course she loves Russell. You would love Russell Wilson if he was on your team, too.
I would. I mean, I don't know. He doesn't really fit in Pittsburgh. He's more of a white collar.
So if he was
you know, tea and crumpets kind of guy. So then why would he want to come? We're more of a beer and wings kind of town.
Why would he want to come over then? I mean, if he doesn't fit in.
He wants the Monday night games. He wants the Sunday night games. He wants an opportunity to compete to get to a Super Bowl. He wants to play.
He wants to play
for a head coach that he gets.
Yeah.
He wants to play on a team with a great defense and a lot of offensive weapons. Najee Harris and the rest.
Yeah.
She's pissed.
Your wife's not very happy, Ben. My cousin, your wife, is not very happy.
I know.
Broke her heart, Ben. You just broke her heart.
I don't want it to happen. I just feel like I feel like they're ready.
Yeah.
I feel like they're ready. Sure. I feel like they're ready to part ways. You know, Carroll's done with the drama. If they're able to bring in another quarterback to replace Russell Wilson, I think they're mutually ready to part ways.
Yeah.
It's not animosity or it's, you know, that they hate each other. I just think that the Russell Wilson and Seattle Seahawks are prepared to move on, and the one team out there that has a real genuine opportunity with the coaching staff, the defense, and the offensive weapons, with a improved offensive line, with Russell Wilson's talents to get back to a Super Bowl. Of the teams that would make a run at him, the Steelers, the Eagles, the Broncos, you know, the Bears. I just think the Steelers are his best option.
I don't think it's going to happen. After all that, Ben, I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, thanks for that, by the way.
Yeah.
All you had to do was have a hot take. If you had a hot take, she would have come out here.
Yeah, I know.
She would have heard whatever you were saying.
I talking about my hot
and
take.
And that would have been
what
the end
hot,
of it.
What if my hot take was this hot take, the one that we're talking about right now?
Now you have to come up with a hot take.
Yeah, I don't have a hot take.
Something random.
Yeah, I don't have a hot take. But, I mean, you know, I mean, saying that the Steelers are, or, you know, Pittsburgh is not his ideal destination. I mean, you still seem positive, fairly positive, that he's going to come over. Because I don't see it happening. I think he's going to stick with the Seahawks.
They don't want him, and he doesn't want them.
No, they want him.
I don't think they do.
I think they do. Yeah.
I think they
what's the alternative to Russell
Wilson?
Well,
that's the thing. They have to bring, if they're able to bring in somebody like Garoppolo, Or a draft pick.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, and then replace Russell Wilson.
But they're going to get the capital back from Russell Wilson. They'll be able to improve the team.
The guy that they went to two Super Bowls with, that guy.
A decade ago, yes.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how long it's been, but he's been there. I mean, when was Roethlisberger there? Over a decade ago.
Yeah.
And you still love him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not his fault the team's been bad.
And it's been less than a decade. Actually, he got there to the Super Bowl after a couple of times.
Yeah, that's true. And he won one of them.
Yeah. Well, he should have won two.
He should have won two. But yeah, I just think it makes sense for the Steelers. It makes sense for the Seahawks. It makes sense for Pete Carroll.
You seem flustered, Ben. Allens.
Well, your wife
flustered you.
That was bad timing.
Yeah, not great. I mean, because she is a huge Seahawks fan. She loves Russell Wilson. And you just said you were going to rip Russell Wilson out of the grasp of the Seattle Seahawks.
Yes.
Out of her grasps, actually.
Yeah,
If he was here, she'd be hugging him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, for sure.
Yeah.
If he was here, I wouldn't be here.
You would be, because you'd be like, come over to the Steelers, please.
Oh, that's true. But I don't, like I said, it's not a Russell Wilson drama situation. I feel like it's more of a mutual contractual, you know, generally pretty copacetic, you know, breaking of a relationship. I don't think, I'm not trying to say that it's that they don't like each other. I just think they're both sort of ready to move on.
I don't know. I still don't think so. I still think that Russell Wilson will be the starting quarterback for the Seahawks, and I think he's going to play out his entire career with the Seahawks.
All right.
Yeah. That's my outtake.
Enjoy your one game on national television next year, Russell Wilson.
Yeah, well, I mean, you should play better this year, right?
Well, yeah, but that's what I mean.
Lesson learned.
And if you're the Seattle Seahawks, you see how he played the last, you know, six games of the season after he came back from his injury. Didn't look particularly good.
Yeah, but how did he play prior to that?
Bad.
For years.
Well.
Yeah. You were
very well.
Yeah, very well. He was your top quarterback for quite some time there.
Yeah, no, I still think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I mean, he hasn't improved and hasn't changed his style of play. He continues to make the same mistakes year after year after year after year. And I think that, you know, is one of the reasons that Pete Carroll wouldn't mind moving on.
I think he would mind. I think Pete Carroll would really mind moving on from Russell Wilson.
We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see. I'm gonna play this episode back.
Okay, we'll play it back
when the
season starts and he's still with the Seahawks and you guys are starting with Mason Rudolph.
That would be brutal. All right, Franny, what's next on the big board?
Next up, Ben, is our feel good story.
Oh, can you believe it, Franny? We are at the feel good story portion of the show.
Woo. Loud.
All right, Franny, this week on our Feel Good Story, something we do only in the off season, we bring this to you guys.
It got cold real quick. What the fuck's going on?
It's getting cold. C.J. Henderson. He's a former athlete at Christopher Columbus High School. C.J. Henderson played football at the school in 2017. He's now 23 years old and a cornerback for the vaunted Carolina Panthers. Thomas Kruschek, president of Christopher Columbus High School, said that Henderson donated a transformative financial gift, which allowed the school to renovate its training room. This month, the brand new athletic training center at the high school officially opened its doors after Henderson donated $250,000. And he's not one of the higher paid cornerbacks
in
the league. It means the world to me to just get back to my old stomping grounds where I grew up and where I went to school. Henderson said the Henderson Family Athletic Center includes areas for evaluation, treatment, rehabilitation, including whirlpools and hydrotherapy, massage chairs, and training tables. They've got about 1,000 student athletes at Columbus, so our athletes will be using this and thinking about CJ every day, Kruschek said. $250,000 for his Miami stomping grounds.
That's. I mean, we see that often with a lot of these guys.
Athletes come out of Miami to play in the NFL.
A lot of these guys always give back to their community. What I'm really shocked about, though, is the fact that there's still a high school called Christopher Columbus High School, and they haven't changed that name yet.
Well, it is in Florida.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah, but I mean, you know, with all the PC stuff going on, and you know the way he treated indigenous peoples.
Yeah,
I'm surprised that it's still called.
I don't think Florida cares.
Yeah,
they might change it to something even more offensive.
Maybe, but you know, they definitely got a good donation there for $250,000. to Christopher Columbus High School.
Yeah, exactly. But give it up for C.J. Henderson. I mean, actually, when I saw the story, I'm like, do I want to actually read this out loud? Because, you know, but this is the name of the high school.
That's it.
You know, and it's such a huge donation, $250,000.
Wait, the high school that you went to, Ben, who was the mascot? Like, what was the
tiger.
Mascot? Tiger. Okay, that's like very odd.
Yeah, it's like an eagle.
Yeah,
it's like exactly. The other half of the high schools in the country are like either tigers, eagles, bears.
See, mine wasn't
cougars.
Mine, you would never guess what mine was. Never in a million years. What is Angela Merkel?
Or was German?
Yeah, and what was her title?
Chancellor.
Yeah,
you were the chancellors.
The chancellors, yes.
So that's kind of like the presidents or the congressmen. Guess.
Chancellor,
the congresspersons.
Yeah, yeah. That's weird, huh?
The sergeant at arms.
There's not too many chancellors.
Yeah, that's an interesting name I wonder where that came from.
From a chancellor.
It's like, you know, go parliamentarians.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, tigers is, you know, that's, you know, every other high school is the tigers or the eagles or the bears or whatever. But yeah, chancellors. That's right.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Schultzes.
The
Merkel Schultzes.
Chatsworth Chancellors.
Interesting. Okay. All right.
I mean, it rolls right off your tongue. I mean, Chatsworth Chancellors. I mean, it rolls right off your tongue.
Yeah, but at least it's interesting. I mean, it's like how many people could steal the Eagles logo and drop it on their helmet?
Every single team that is that has the Eagles as their mascot.
They all have the same sort of copyright infringed decals on their helmets, all just these high schools.
Different color.
Yeah, just different color, but they all kind of look the same.
Yeah.
And they are all sort of...
No. The eye is a little different. The eye of the eagle is a little bit different.
Yeah, this is like... This isn't like, you know...
There's one less feather on its back.
This isn't like stealing the Beatles' beat. This is obvious.
Yeah.
All right, Franny. Let's give it up for C.J.
$250,000.
That's a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's not a burning building, but, you know,
yeah,
it'll do.
No, I mean, it's, a bus full of children that rolled over and you're running in there to save every single one of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, though, $250,000.
He's not one of, he makes obviously a decent salary, Columbus, but he's not a quarterback.
High School, which will soon be changing its name.
Not in Miami, it won't.
Maybe.
They'll become the Anacondas. No, the boa constrictors. What's on the loose down there? Everything's on the
loose. The alligators.
Yeah, they got the alligators, they got the boa constrictors, they got water moccasins.
Mosquitoes.
Hurricanes. Oh, that's actually a good name. Yeah, Miami Hurricanes.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, they could just basically steal the logo and use that, you know.
Not a bad idea.
Lightning.
The Lightning.
Actually, they have the Tampa Bay Lightning. Yeah.
But at least it fits. It's not like the LA Lakers.
Yeah, well.
We're in a 100-year drought, and they're like, the LA Lakers?
There's lakes all over the place, man. What are you talking about?
There's a man-made lake in Balboa. There's a man-made lake
in front of SoFi. It fits.
The LA Lakers.
Los Angeles droughts.
Next, they're going to move the Avalanche down here.
Yeah.
The LA Avalanche.
Yeah. I mean, what? They moved over. Okay.
The tornadoes, maybe.
There's tornadoes out here.
Oh, stop.
Small tornadoes, but there are tornadoes.
They're very small. That's very wind. Small. Yeah, the Santa Ana winds.
That would be a great name right there.
Yeah, actually, yeah. The LA Santa Anas.
Yeah.
The Santa Ana winds.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're warm, dry,
mm-hmm.
and really annoying.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Lakers.
Well, this year they're annoying. Yeah. They're really annoying me.
They should be annoying everybody.
Yeah.
But LeBron will be back with the Cavs next year.
I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen.
He's going to jump ship eventually.
Eventually. But, I mean, how many more years does he have?
Well, he's demanded to play with his son his last year, which should be 2023.
Yeah. Yeah. And I drive by his school every day, actually. Yeah. That's a nice fucking school.
Wait, where does the kid go to school?
Was it Sierra Canyon?
Oh, yeah. Wow. So he knows about the Santa Ana winds.
Every time I drive by, it's like Porsche.
Yeah,
it's
nice
like what are those Land Rovers? Another Porsche, Mercedes. You know, you have to be kind of wealthy.
So LeBron's trying to make sure that his son stays, you know, in touch with the common person.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, damn, this is like a nice, very
it's
nice.
It's like
car
90210
right
up there.
Yeah, and they all drive like assholes too.
Well,
they drive like fucking dicks. Like I'm just trying to get up the street. And like, you know, you have kids in your car and they're like cutting me off. They're like merging all fucked. I mean, it's like these people are messed up in their head.
Haven't you seen the sitcoms? They got to get to the coffee shop to have conversations with their friends.
I guess. But I mean, you have kids in the car. Fucking, I don't care. I don't care what you drive. I don't care if you have a Bentley SUV. I don't give a shit.
Do they make a Bentley SUV?
Yeah, they do. But oh, don't cut me off. You bitch. You fucking, well, you fucking Karen.
They see Mazda. They're like, what is this Mazda?
Yeah, I know. What is this logo? what is that?
What is this logo?
Move out of the way.
Is this a Honda? What is this? Is this...
Yeah.
I don't know what this is.
But they're assholes. I mean, if I had kids in my car, I wouldn't drive like that. I'd be more respectful.
Well, if you cared about your kids, they probably don't. Yeah, they're like, it's just a hassle for them.
Yeah, I know.
It's just a...
like, they're spending my money. That, you know, I'm bringing in.
It's just for appearances.
Yeah, exactly.
I had to have these children so that I would be able to have conversations.
So I can
with
take pictures on Christmas and send it out to people and make it seem like we're happy.
Because if adults didn't have children, they wouldn't have anything to talk about with other adults.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, I don't have any kids, and so I don't talk.
So you're forced to have an actual conversation.
An actual conversation, and it's very awkward.
Yeah, but I mean, if you've ever been around parents with kids, I mean, that's all they talk about.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
it's, because they don't want to have an actual conversation.
Yeah, like my kid was student of the month, just like every other fucking student will be student of the month in that class.
Everybody is student of the month now.
Yeah, I know. Everyone gets a participation trophy.
Exactly. Like, not at Sierra Canyon. They get a receipt for the tuition.
Exactly.
Thank you for your $50,000, sir.
Here's your bill.
Here's your bill. Yes, Johnny did great. Or Bronny did great in this case.
And give it to one of your moms.
Yeah. But yeah, he says he wants to play with his son, assuming he's going to get drafted, which means he's ordering an NBA team to draft his son. So that whoever drafts Bronny, that's where he just assumes the team will automatically give him a contract.
Nice school, but I mean...
Because he says the money doesn't matter to him anymore.
Nice school, but the parents are dicks.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. I think that the more money you make, the more of an asshole you become.
Generally speaking.
Because they're not very humble. I mean, like, there's some people that have a lot of, like, you know, like...
CJ Anderson.
That gave $250,000. I mean, I'm sure he's not an asshole, but there are a lot of assholes out there.
Exactly.
And it shows every day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Especially out here in... the deep, deep, deep recesses of the San Fernando Valley, which is where Sierra Canyon is.
There's nothing beyond that.
It's not exactly. It's not exactly. It's not exactly in Beverly Hills.
No,
it's like the opposite of Beverly Hills.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it's away from the beach. It's dry. It's windy. It's hot, or it's really cold.
It's not really cold, but it is windy like almost every fucking single day.
Yeah, yeah. It's not exactly the most. Maybe that's why the parents are pissed, because they're in the valley.
Maybe. Like, oh, you couldn't afford that school in Beverly Hills?
Yeah, they're far away from their home.
I'm sending my son or daughter to this school.
They're far away from their home in Westlake, and they're not happy that they have they're slumming it down in the San Fernando Valley, dropping their stupid kid off.
The stupid kid. Yeah.
Well, all right. What's next on the big board?
Next up, man.
We've lost all our listeners.
We're not going to talk about stupid kids anymore. It is our shot of the week, but should we take a break before we... get on with the alcohol portion of the show.
That's your way of saying you'd like to take a break.
I would like to take a break.
Before we get on with the alcohol. Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back with the shot of the week.
Stupid kids. All right, and we are back with our shot of the week. Ben, it's our drinking portion of the show. We're going to have a shot. We're going to have our beverage of the week and our beer of the week. But first up, we have our dirty Mintini's, Ben. It is Girl Scout cookie season. And have you bought any Girl Scout
cookies?
Actually, no, there are some Girl Scout cookies.
One of the nice things about...
in the house right now.
Oh, yeah, we got a gift. Yeah. Somebody brought them over, but not being in the office 5 days a week is nice not to have to be bullied from parents and coworkers into buying cookies for some strange reason. This is a yearly event. In around workplaces all over the country, parents being bullied into buying cookies.
And for would you just stop the music?
Oh no! I just pushed it
pushed
out.
Pushed it. Okay, so we start and we stop it. Okay. But.
No, you won't hear them.
No, you won't.
No one's going to hear what you what you just heard.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Oh, okay. So you can. Oh, so you can just push it. Oh, I get it now. So you're editing on the fly
now. Yeah.
Okay, so I heard music.
We're not talking about the shot yet.
I heard the music in my headphones, and I thought you just kind of stopped it and pushed it away, and nobody else is going to hear that except myself. Okay.
I shoot it away like a rich person from Calabasas.
Shoo.
Shooed your Mazda out of its way.
Watch out, I have a Bentley SUV. Those Lamborghini SUVs are pretty nice, too. But, yeah, tonight's shot, there's the music. There's the actual music. Tonight's shot, Ben, is in honor of Girl Scout cookie season, in which we are forced to buy subpar cookies for an elevated price from parents who, for some reason, think that it's important for us to buy these things. Like, Girl Scouts of America, good for you. Kudos to you. But, you know, if you're going to charge $5 or $6 for a box of small cookies, you know, they should be a little bit better.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, the Samoas are good.
The Tagalogs are good.
I mean, the Thin Mints are good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you don't like them. You don't like mint in general. But, you know, tonight's shot, though,
is... Yeah, this is what I want. I want a cookie that tastes like a breath mint.
Yeah,
that's what I want. Can I have that?
I didn't think to put the shot together, but my sister, of all people, sent me a link on Instagram. She DM'd me, Ben. We don't usually talk in person, but she DM'd me the recipe for this shot so we can use it on the podcast tonight. And it was concocted with vodka.
Yummy.
Creme de menthe.
Yummy.
Irish cream whiskey.
Festive.
And Kahlua. And it is
also
a nice
festive
green color. And on the rim, we have some chocolate sprinkles.
Oh, that's really nice. And you can get pictures of these shots on Instagram at Thirst and on Twitter at Goal Thirst. It's a beautiful looking milky blue
green
Girl Scout cookie.
I mean, if you see blue
color,
then you're colorblind.
Bluish green.
It looks like a kale. It looks like a blended kale.
Yeah, you're right. It's
smoothie,
green.
Basically.
It looks a little. Yeah, you're right. It's green.
Yeah, it's green. Yeah.
What is it? What was that?
Get those cataracts removed.
What was that?
It's a hazy looking yellow.
They played that audio clip, and it was like either you heard this or that.
I don't know. Or with the dress, like the color of the dress.
Yeah.
Like which dress.
Like when you
color.
Said green, I saw green. Before you said green, I saw blue.
Yeah, it's green.
But what? Now that you've said green out loud, it looks way more green.
It's red. What do you see now?
I still see green.
Okay, good.
I can't actually change the complete color, but it was much more blue before my brain told me it was green.
I mean, to me, it's been looking green since I poured it.
Yeah, it looked a little blue to me.
Wow. All right. Maybe go see the optometrist.
Yeah, Kaiser's ophthalmologist might have underdiagnosed my problem.
It seems like you got some issues.
Yeah, she did say there was...
Maybe you should have him listen to the podcast. Like,
she did say there was no treatment.
No treatment. You're going,
she's like, you have this
you're
problem?
You're colorblind.
There's also no treatment.
So when you look at the sky, what color do you see?
It's usually blue.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, cool. In California, it's kind of like a hazy blue.
Yeah.
It's a it's a carbon filtered
cheers,
blue.
Cheers, Ben. We're going to try this dirty mintini.
Yeah. Friday puts these together every week. And these are amazing shots week after week after
thank
week.
Thank you to my
160,
sister.
Yes.
Yeah. She's,
thank
she's
you.
She's even getting involved
to friend
in the podcast.
Of the show. Minty. Spicy.
Oh, that's good.
It's got a little bit of a harsh aftertaste with the vodka.
That's really good.
It's got a nice creaminess
to it.
It
does taste like a Thin Mint.
It does. I mean, but not. It's not so minty.
I don't want to, you know, toot my own horn or anything.
Here we go.
But I mean, but the mixture.
But I will.
The mixture, the amount of mint that I added to the amount of Kahlua and vodka. I mean, everything was like almost perfect in that shot right there, Ben. I mean, like, you know, thanks to my sister for the recipe. But
it was good.
Mixing it together, man, I nailed that one.
Thank you so much for the recipe, but
but I mean, there was
my execution.
There was no actual measurements. There were no measurements.
The recipe.
The recipe. I mean, the ingredients were there.
Oh, she didn't give
me
the. It wasn't like two parts.
No,
one part.
No. It was none of that. It was just like, this is what's in the drink. Now take it away. And I fucking nailed it. I nailed it. That was good.
Yeah, that was good because was you could have went a little bit too heavy with the mint.
Could have.
You could have went a little heavier with the Kahlua and it wouldn't have had that green color to it.
Yep.
It was actually perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was because if it was too minty, I'd be like, minty. Yeah. But it was actually just the right amount of mint, just the right amount of vodka because it gives you a little bit of that pow. Yeah,
I know.
At the end because, you could taste the vodka at the end.
Yeah. It was mostly vodka and creme de menthe, but still.
But, I mean, it really had a nice bite, but it also had a nice creaminess and a nice sweetness to it.
Uh-huh.
So, for our listeners at home, what was the breakdown on the, if you had to guess at the one part, two part?
It was very little Kahlua. Very little Kahlua. You know, maybe just a small pour of that into a measuring glass, but it was vodka. Well, I would say like it was one third vodka, one third creme de menthe, one third Irish whiskey, and just a splash of Kahlua on top of all that.
Yeah, I mean that was nice.
Yeah,
that was, and I'm not a big sweet shot guy.
But it wasn't sweet though. It was minty. It was minty. Had a nice bit of creaminess, just the right amount.
So
of sweetness.
So is that the thin mint? It's like it's not too sweet.
No, if the Girl Scouts of America were serving this shit in front of Ralph's or Vons, I'd get messed up. I'd be like, let me get one more of those.
And then they wouldn't have to push the cookie
Rebecca.
So hard. They wouldn't have to push the cookie so hard.
Yeah. No, exactly. I mean, they would make way more money selling this shit to like, parents.
Can I fill this form out today and then get my get something in my mouth a month and a half from
I haven't
now?
Been to a club in a long time. I mean, I'm too old to go to clubs anymore.
Oh, Lord.
I am. I mean, okay, if me and you were to go to a club, we would stick out like sore thumbs and we would be like, damn, those guys are old. Like,
that's true. Yeah, like, that's true. They have a little, I mean, like, I got my halter top that like I wear usually and it, you know.
Like, they have way too many wrinkles to be in here. Like, exactly. That dude has a lot on his forehead.
I'll get Botox.
That dude has some crow's feet.
That dude has some crow's feet.
It could be either one of us because my crow's feet are definitely starting to show now. Even though I use my retinol cream. Is it retinol? Is it retinol? I don't even know.
I don't even.
Or is
know.
That the stuff?
I don't
that,
use any of it.
Is
yet.
That was that? I don't even.
I
know.
Use Jergens, man. I use whatever's on the shelf.
Yeah. Well, whatever your wife brings.
Yeah. It's all the same to me. I just rub it out. I Vaseline. I don't care.
Yeah, well, I mean that works too, I guess. No, but if the Girl Scouts of America treated like their little booth that they set up in front of like Ralph's or Vons or a grocery store as like a club in Hollywood, and you know how like those little tubes of like shots that they walk around with, and they like put that little light on it,
so
you can kind of see it. Man, if they sold this stuff,
see, just know. I'm.
Yeah, I know.
No roofies in here.
Moving through. I would
roofie.
I would order a few of these.
Yeah, that was really. It's gonna make it. That actually makes me want to try a thin mint that I haven't tried in probably 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was minty. There was a little bit of sweetness, but not too much. There was a little bit of creaminess, but not too much. It was perfect.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a 10.
I'll give it a 10 as well.
Damn, that was good. Yeah, I mean, and even like if you let it linger, like even now, I can like still taste like a thin mint in my mouth.
Yeah, that was
an
exceptionally well put together shot.
Spot on.
So look for that on Instagram at Thirst Dan.
But for some reason, I can't.
Goal Thirst.
Viber's not
on
working.
Twitter.
I'm trying to Viber it to you, but it's not working.
You'll have to. We're gonna have to bust.
I'm gonna
out.
Email it. I'm gonna fax it to you.
We're gonna have to. You'll see the pictures via fax later tonight because for some reason.
Yeah. Just send us your number.
Viber's
send us your number if you want it. Just DM us and we'll fax you the images.
We'll fax it to you. We'll get you a teletype.
What the hell is a teletype?
It's like a telegram.
Oh wow.
Yeah, we'll get you a telegram.
Yeah, that's like. Look, you know, I'm sort of up there in age, but I'm not that up there in age.
We'll set it off on the teletype.
The kids.
It was like the news teletype. Like,
but it's funny, like the kids.
You ever see the old movies where like and they're reading it as it's printing out of the little thing? That's a teletype.
Wow, but it's funny because the kids that are selling this,
extra
the girls
shot
cookies,
produced tonight a thirsty goal.
Hey, Timmy. Hey, but you know, like kids these days though.
Kids these days.
The ones that are selling these things, like the Girl Scout cookies.
Kids sell them? I'm always
accosted
by parents.
Yeah, it's usually the parents. They're like bullying you into buying them. They don't know what cassettes are.
Cassettes?
Yeah, cassette. Like
a 8-track, cassette.
I mean, 8-track.
LP.
Even I know. I mean, I've never used an 8-track in my life, but I know what it
is.
I'm sure you have.
In the 70s, I did, yeah.
Record? I mean, I guess
people... Oh,
I
records, mean, even, of course.
Well, kids still use records. Records went through. It's like,
yeah, it's popular now.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Like, oh, they sound better.
No, they don't.
They do.
They don't sound better.
Analog is better than digital.
No, it's not.
It is.
It's not. They can tell themselves that as much as they want to.
You listen to music that doesn't actually involve music.
Hey, just because I listen to a lot of bass and...
listen to all you need is an Apple... an AirPad Plus or an Air, what do you call it? what do you call the Apple computer, the expensive one?
MacBook.
Pro? MacBook, yeah. You just need a MacBook Pro and a mic, and maybe not even a mic. You just need Adobe EDM.
That's what I grew up on. All right. That's what I grew up on. I didn't sell this shit. I wasn't like a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout or anything.
Well, I was a Cub Scout.
Of course, it wasn't Girl Scout. That would be kind of weird. But
back then it would have been.
Yeah, back then it would have been. Nowadays it's not.
I was a Cub Scout.
Were you a Cub Scout?
Of course.
Oh my God! Of course. What a nerd.
Everybody was a Cub Scout back then.
I wasn't. I was not.
Well, you were also in the 90s. I was in the 70s.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But still though. Like, I had friends over in the Cub Scouts. I'm like, dude, like, guys,
it was upstate
seriously,
New York. Everybody was
guys,
in Cub
what's
Scouts.
Wrong with you? You're like, that's very douchey. Like, even when I was younger, I was like, dude.
Douchey?
It's douchey, bro.
Everybody was in the Cub Scouts that
I
knew.
No.
Everybody was in it.
Yeah, I can tell.
I did the Pinewood Derby. I did the whole thing.
What the hell's a Pinewood Derby?
Every year, they give you a block of wood. You make a car out of it. Yeah, every year. They still do it to this day. I won the Pinewood Derby.
Really?
Yeah.
Ben, I'm learning new things about you on the podcast.
My dad
tonight.
And I, it was a chemist. We built our car, and it was essentially just a wedge. It was very aerodynamic. We used graphite on the axle of the car. My father decided they were going to put graphite on the axle of the car to get the car because it wasn't illegal to move to move the axle a little bit faster, lessen the friction between the wood and the axle, and we won.
Oh wow! Look at that. I had no idea.
I still have the trophy.
In the house.
In my mother's house.
Oh, okay.
Not in my own house, yes.
I would like to see this trophy.
It exists.
Is that the one you have in the case right there with the spotlight on it?
No, it's in my childhood bedroom.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. It was
I'm gonna have to go to your childhood home, Ben, and just I want to visit it.
And if you do,
it's gonna be a time capsule into your life.
Yeah, you'll see when you visit, you'll see why everybody was in the Cub Scouts. Because there wasn't much else to do.
This is when I was molested. I got a trophy for that too.
Yeah. This is the barn. This is the barn where we got molested. And we also shot pigeons.
Did you guys really?
No.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I mean, but it was back then. I mean, it was maybe it was like a shooting trophy.
Yeah, no, yeah, no. Yeah. We shot BB guns at each other. Not at pigeons.
All right,
Friday.
Yeah, maybe. And I'm not so sure.
you're at a 10. I'm at a 10. What's next up on the big board?
Next up, Ben, is our beverage of the week, our brown of the week. Ben, it is another scotch. We love our scotches on the show. And Ben, it was my birthday on Monday, and I'm still depressed.
Shut up.
I am. I have birthday.
I'm 30.
Eight. I have, ever since 30, I haven't been happy.
Like I said, if it starts with a th,
yeah.
You don't need to worry.
No, I do. Yeah, it's very, I mean, ever since 30, it's been downhill.
Oh, Lord.
It's been downhill.
It should be uphill from 30.
No.
Well, uphill from 30 to 40.
I mean, uphill technically.
And then downhill
from
30.
Yeah.
From 40 now.
But yeah, it's
40 is essentially the top of the mountain.
I mean, at
and then
work.
It's all downhill.
At work, people are like, what's wrong? I'm like, dude, I'm old. Like, that's, my life is over. This is it. Might as well get a walker. You know, might as well get fitted for some hearing aids now.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. I mean, I thought
the same way until I turned 50. And
after
I was
work.
Like, this is not
after work,
that bad.
I went across the street and I bought Depends. I'm like, this is it.
You bought some pens?
Depends.
I'm sorry. I'm old. I can't hear you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you said some pens.
Depends. I got to depend on something to protect my bladder.
Well, yeah. But the amount of breaks you've taken on the show, I think you might.
Actually.
It might not be a bad idea.
Yeah.
Are we 20 minutes in?
Yeah.
27 minutes in? All right. I think I need to use the restroom.
I think I need a break. Can we take a break?
Join the Cub Scouts?
Yeah, but Ben, thank you so very much, though. You know, this was a very generous gift that Ben got me. It is the Aberfeldy 18. This thing has been aged for 18 years. I love the Aberfeldy 12. I mean, it's one of my favorite scotches for a 12-year-old. And, you know, this one is an 18-year, Ben. And we'll see how this one is. I mean, I'm not sure how much information they have on their website for this one, but
they have maybe a little bit.
A little bit.
Play a little nice music from Scotland.
I own land in Scotland, Ben.
Yeah, that's true. You have 2 feet by 2 feet.
Yep, exactly.
Let's see. We have the Aberfeldy 18-year-old Côte Rôtier red wine cask. This 2021 release.
What is it?
What's that?
Côte Rôtier.
Côte Rôtier.
I seriously don't know. Like, I can pronounce other languages, like, other than French. French is, like, it makes absolutely no sense. I'm probably guessing it's, like, Côte Rôtier.
Côte Rôtier.
Côte Rôtier.
It's the 18-year-old Côte Rôtier red wine cask. Yeah, like Côte Rôtier.
Sounds right.
Let's say the whitest, most upstate New York pronunciation.
Côte Rôtier, bro.
The 2021 release in this collection is full of expressive red berry notes. The Côte Rôtier wine cast. Actually, we should be good. This is a nice scotch, so we should be very respectful.
Yeah, yeah.
At least I will be. The Côte.
You spent the money on it, so yeah.
The Côte Rôtier wine cast below, seductive qualities, elevating Aberfeldy's signature smoothness. The tasting notes, it's bursting with intense fruity red berry notes, smothered in honey and deeply evocative of an eaten mess. A zing of candle. I can't, this is making it hard to be serious. A zing of candied citrus brings balance, mellowed by vanilla and butterscotch. It's 43 ABV. There's red berries, vanilla, and honey. They also have a 15-year-old. They have an 18-year-old Pauliac finish, which is also 43%. And coming soon, they have a new cask finish.
It's funny, it's blurred out.
Coming in, they don't know what kind of cask they're going to use. But the 15 is good. The 12 is amazing for the money.
For $30, I mean.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, one of the guys I work with, I mean, he's like, hey, I hear you drink a lot of scotch. I'm like, huh. You heard I'm an alcoholic. All right, great.
You drink a lot of scotch.
And, you know, he was asking me, like, you know, what is good? He's like, you know, he's had a couple. He's like, you know, I had the 12-year-old Glenfiddich. I'm like, that's out of all of the scotches that I've ever had, that's probably like one of the few that we didn't like on the show.
That was pretty bad.
I'm like, you know, if
the Glenmorangie 12 was better.
If you don't want to spend a lot of money on, you know, a scotch that tastes good, I'm like, the Aberfeldy 12 is a solid, you know, full-bodied scotch for like $30-$35.
Yeah, that
you know?
And the Glenross 10 or the Glenross 12.
Yeah, but
12.
Even the Glenross, that one is around $45. So I mean,
it's a little like, pricey.
It's a little bit more, but it's also very good. But for around $30, the Aberfeldy 12 is excellent, actually. And I can't wait to try this one, though.
Yeah, I researched this one, and I was actually, I thought I was going to have to go to the wine and liquor bin out in Lake Balboa because I knew they had it. But I was actually surprised. BevMo doesn't have it. Only Total Wine has it out here because it's a newer release. It's a little bit pricey, and it hasn't been around that long. So I was actually surprised, and I was happy, quite frankly, to see the Total Wine had it because the price at the Wine and Liquor Bin was quite more than the one at Total Wine.
Mm-hmm.
But
good prices.
This is. I'd like to try the 15 again on the show, and this is sort of coming to be one of at least my favorite distilleries, newer distilleries in Scotland, because the 12 is great. What I hear is good things about the 15, and I'm hoping this one will be great.
Yeah, I love
well.
The bottle too. I mean, the bottle is short, it's fat, it's round, and you know, the labeling,
like,
you know,
most of my Cub Scout mates.
Yeah. Short, fat, round.
Short, fat, and round. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you make fun of them?
Of course.
Okay.
It was the 70s. We were allowed to then.
They look like Mac Jones with his shirt off.
I look like Mac Jones with my shirt off.
Now. But back then, you were chiseled.
Back then,
you were a chiseled little kid.
I was even skinnier. God, I was 135 pounds, I think, when I graduated high school.
Yeah, I think I was around the same weight.
It was...
I'm probably not much more now, actually. I think I probably weigh like I'd say 155, actually.
I've gained 40 pounds since then, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But then I'm almost 40, so, you know, once you hit 40... Yeah, the weight starts piling on, right, Ben? That's what I hear, anyways.
Slowly.
Yeah, slowly. Yeah, but anyways.
Slowly.
I mean, the bottle is really eye-catching on the shelf. I mean, it's a little bit different. I mean, it's black and gold and like the Steelers, Ben.
Yeah, exactly.
Black and yellow.
Like Russell Wilson.
Yeah. No.
2022.
Well, cheers to you, Ben.
Let's give it a
little bit of a sniff, actually.
Oh, that's nice.
It's almost cognac-y.
It's very rich. I mean, there's a lot coming through there.
There's a lot of sweetness coming through.
It's got
a lot of vanilla. There's a lot of vanilla in there.
Vanilla, a little bit of sort of a red wine, berry, you know, red grape nose.
A little bit of spice as well. I mean, the color also is
a little bit spicy. Almost got like a little bit of that sort of Glenfarclas.
It's like an apricot liqueur color.
It reminds me a little bit of that Glenfarclas 25.
Caramel, vanilla, some spice, sweetness. Damn, it smells really good. I mean, it's got a beautiful, rich, deep color. Really punches you.
It's not your typical smooth 18.
But it really punches you in the nose with a lot of different flavors, a lot of different notes coming through.
Well, I'm surprised at how rich it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, on the nose. I expect it to be a little bit more
soft and tight.
Tight.
Wow, that's really good. It smells really nice.
43%, so it's a little bit higher than your typical scotch, right?
Some apple in there. Green apple. To be more specific. Not a gala, not a red, green. Yeah, well, let's see how it tastes, Ben.
Yeah, I'm not getting the honey on the nose, but let's see.
Yeah, not too much. Extremely smooth. Goes down with a little bit of kick on the end. But some sweetness. That you definitely get the...
Nice spice in the nose.
On the
mid-palate.
There's a wininess to it. It's almost... There's some cognac-iness to it.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of why I got it for you, but...
Cognac's not bad, Ben.
Well, but I knew it had... I mean, allegedly it had a really nice, rich sort of grape wine finish from the casks that gave it a sort of a cognac twist.
But you do get the more of the honey on the back of the throat, that sort of finish at the end with a little bit of creaminess, with a little bit of spice, with a little bit of kick, but it's also smooth at the same time.
I mean, yeah, I'm not getting as much of the creaminess. I thought it would be a little bit creamier, but it makes up for it with sort of a very robust flavor palette.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, I almost get like a little bit of a raspberry or like
I mean, it's a little soft on the entry, though.
A yoga da?
On the entry. what?
Wait, which, how do you say berry in Croatian?
Yagoda.
Yagoda. I was right.
But
you're like, what? Let me just say the same thing you just said.
I was sure if it said jaguar.
Like, what? I was like, yogurt.
Some jaguar flavor in there.
It tastes a little like jaguar flesh.
But it's lacking on the entry, but then it really finishes with a lot of flavor on the end. And I like the fact, I mean, even though it's smooth and it's an 18-year and you expect it to be smooth, there's a little bit of a kick on the back of the throat, too.
It's almost got a nice...
Search for...
Search
most
for...
often in Kentucky on Pornhub.
Kick me on the end.
By my cousin.
Behind the barn. I mean, it's the more you drink it, the better it gets.
Mm-hmm. And I'm taking it home with me. It was a gift, Ben. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you were supposed to take it home last week.
Yeah, but we wouldn't be able to try it on the show.
That's true.
I mean, I guess unless I brought it back. I mean, it's like too much of a hassle. I can't carry that in my trunk.
I know.
Weigh down my car. Gas prices are expensive enough as they are, Ben. I can't add another pound to my car.
I know.
I'm trying to drive as light as possible. I take my shirt off.
That's funny. Yeah, no,
not everybody has an electric Tesla like you, Ben.
That's true.
Not that there's a gas Tesla.
Or a coal powered. Where do I put the gas in this thing?
We need more coal.
Henry, I'm at the pump on 42nd. What? I can't get any gas in here.
Where do I stick the nozzle?
Search for the most.
In Vermont.
I mean, that's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is good. I mean, it kind of reminds me a little bit of that Dalmore.
Yeah, a little bit. Because the Dalmore also had that rich sweetness to it, but the Dalmore was just a little bit more smooth on the finish. This one has that little bit of kick with a little bit of spice. That one didn't have it. Actually had a nice bit of spice actually for the Dalmore, but not that kick.
Yeah, and I think the Dalmore we had was the sherry cask.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I think it was the sherry cask finished.
So we have to try that Dalmore. There's another 12 that excuse me, that I saw at Total Wine. But this is really, really good. Oh man, it stays with you for a minute, which I like.
Yeah, no. What I like is it's not, I mean, even the 12 year almost seems like it's a little bit smoother than this. I mean, this one's a little more complex, but
I like the kick.
The 12 year finishes very smooth, whereas this one has a slightly creaminess, a slightly creamy finish, but it also has that little bit of kick, which I, you know, I do like.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, I think it's a quality. It lets
you know that
offering.
you're drinking some alcohol there.
Yeah, I, like mean, this, I mean, this distillery has promise. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's fairly new. Not a ton of offerings at most liquor stores or most, you know, most of your Total Wines. This distillery, I have high hopes, and I'm looking forward to continuing to taste things that come from Aberfeldy. The 12 mm-hmm. is amazing. This 18 is amazing. We'll get a copy of that. We'll get a copy of that. We'll get a bottle of that 15.
Facts?
We'll get a fax of that. We'll get a fax of that Aberfeldy 15. Didn't have the 15 at Total Wine, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how that is. But the presentation is spot on.
Mm-hmm.
It's yeah. black. It's gold. I mean, it's a beautiful
like bronze
presentation.
Gold. Yeah.
Where would you rate this one, Franny?
I would give it a 9.
Oh God. Yeah, I'm gonna give it a 9 as well.
What the fuck are you saying? Oh God. Like.
Well, it's 2 weeks in a row. We have the same exact.
I know 8, 8, 9, 9. No, 10, 10, 9, 9. Yeah. Well, hopefully with the beer, we're gonna have a different rating. I'm sure it's be exactly the same because I think our flavor profiles have been. I think
our cycles have been synced.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, my
it's
period,
like Sex
my,
in the City.
My period is the same as your
taste.
Period, Ben. Like we have our periods at the same time,
apparently. But I mean, this is a high quality. You know, for the the Glenfiddich 18 is like what, like $80, $75.
Which one?
Glenlivet 18 is like $80.
I think it's around
$75.
I think it's around $90. Yeah, somewhere on there. Like $89.99.
So this one might be a, because it's newer, it might be a hair overpriced for what it is. So the price probably will come down.
I mean, any 18-year-old scotch is you know, it's not going to be cheap. You know, I mean, they waited for this shit to, you know, come to what, maturity.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So, I mean, you know, they have to wait for the product to be
unlike
done.
Unlike the Cub Scouts.
And so
they don't wait for that to
no,
get
no, 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 no. Not at all.
That's the point of it.
That's why we love the Cub Scouts. But no, I mean, you know, you have to wait for your product to become available. And you know, I'm sure they have less barrels, most likely, compared to some of the larger distilleries out there. And so, you know, they're going to sell
yeah,
it at a premium.
I think Glenlivet
just
is like
the Glen
Ross. Distilling in the middle of the ocean yeah. on a bar on a, like, on a giant Maersk ship,
just like the Glen Ross. I mean, the Glen Ross is also, I'm sure, a smaller distillery. Even their 12 year it costs more, but the quality of it is, it's on par with some older aged, you know, sort of scotches from larger distilleries.
Oh,
but
for sure.
That 12 year old Glen Ross is also one of my favorites.
Yeah, even like, did they make a 10?
I'm not sure. I mean, they have the 12, the 15, the 18. You know,
yeah, that's up there though.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, this is a very good, scotch. And, I know when I get home tonight, I will have another dram of this stuff.
It's good stuff.
Yes.
All right, Franny, what's next up on the big board?
Next up, Ben, is our beer of the week. Once again, from Deschutes Brewery, the Mirror Pond Pale Ale. We'll pour it into a glass. And we'll give it a shot.
Can't wait to taste this one. We'll be right back with our beer of the week.
And we are back with our beer of the week. And Ben, I don't know why you're rolling your eyes at that bumper right there. That is a badass bumper.
It's for you.
Thank you.
It's terrible.
It's not terrible.
It's not terrible.
I want the whole version of that song.
It's not. Well, they're all the same. Yeah. You can just listen to any of them.
No, you can't. They're different.
Just
there's differences, Ben.
Just find a club somewhere in Eastern Europe and you will hear this.
Yeah, if you listen to this all the time in Frankfurt, yeah, it's so much fun.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Me and my buddy Jan, we go out and we look for some chicas.
This is from like Munich, Frankfurt.
That's what we call women that we like in Frankfurt, chicas.
Yeah, chicas. It's either EDM or death metal. That's all you'll hear in
or
Germany.
Or death EDM.
Death EDM. They have like the biggest heavy metal, like death metal.
That's a northern. That's a northern country. That's like Finland and Sweden.
No, that's Germany.
And Norway. Germany too.
They have the biggest death metal festival in the world. Is in like can't remember the name.
Never
of the
was
town.
Into that type of music.
But it's a huge festival.
Never was into that. It's like a lot of screaming.
A lot of screaming. A lot of
angriness. A lot of angriness.
Yeah, I mean it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. But it better to get their anger out.
I could see you getting
into that kind of music. I listened to that. Yeah. I mean, better to.
I mean, you were at Woodstock, or no, you were at Woodstock. No, Woodstock
94.
Yeah, you were at Woodstock 94. Yeah, with Kanye.
Yeah, he wasn't at that one. He wasn't at that one.
Even though you were 100% sure.
Somebody was at that one. It was early in the morning when
they were trying
on.
To convince me, like, no, he was fucking there. I met him.
He wore a sport jacket. That was before he was completely batshit crazy.
Maybe he was there, but he wasn't an artist at the time.
Yeah, he was probably sleeping on the blanket next to me.
Maybe.
He bought me one of those $10 Pepsis in 1994. God, what would that be now?
I know, inflation now, it's like $100.
It's like a $20.
Especially with inflation nowadays, that is probably $100.
It's like $20 Pepsi, $30 Pepsi.
Even more.
Yeah, I mean,
even
more. Yeah.
Especially with the amount of money people were making back then. I mean,
I was making $8 an hour back then.
You were in
then.
College, right? Or you were just getting out of college. You were in college.
I was in college.
You were in college, yeah. Yeah, I was in fourth grade.
And it was like,
I was in fourth grade, man.
I was making $8 an hour. It was literally like an hour and a half's worth of work to get a bottle of Pepsi.
I know. That's fucking.
And I was that was actually not terrible money in 1994 to be making $8.
No, not back then. No.
As a college student.
Especially in upstate New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to pay for my Cub Scout badges.
You got the settlement in the lawsuit for the molestation.
I did. That's why I converted from Protestantism to Catholicism.
Yeah.
As I saw, I think maybe I could get another settlement and then I'd be set, pay for law school.
Uh-huh.
But it didn't work out.
No.
They were actually nicer to me than I expected.
Ah, damn it.
At the Catholic Church. They actually cared about me. It was not what I expected, unfortunately. It was just a lot of...
Was it an Irish priest?
Dutch.
Dutch. Oh, Dutch.
It was a Dutch? Yeah, I think it was Dutch.
Dutch, okay.
Wait, it was either Dutch? Yeah, I think it was Dutch.
Okay.
His friend's like, they don't Catholics in Dutch. In Denmark?
I'm just going to...
No fucking Catholics there.
I'm going to go ahead. Dutch people are...
Dutch Reformed.
Are people from the Netherlands. Netherlands. Danes are from Denmark.
Fair enough. I just learned all about Eastern Europe this week.
Yeah.
You know, but...
Those Dutch people from Russia. Those are Russians, man.
That's true. Was it Dutch? It might not have been Dutch. The Dutch Reformed. That's a different... Yeah, either way.
Yeah, anyways. Dutch people from Denmark. He was a Dutch person from Denmark. He wasn't a Dane. He was born
The Dutch are from the Netherlands?
They're
the Danes are from
Denmark.
Denmark. D for Denmark. All right, I'll remember that.
D for Denmark. D for Denmark.
Hey, I know where Lithuania, Estonia, and Latvia are now.
All right,
and I know which order they,
Okay, which order?
It's Estonia, Lithuania, Latvia.
All right.
Is that right?
I have no idea, actually. I mean, I know they're up there, but I'm not sure exactly which order.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Finally. Finally, I got you.
What is the sea that surrounds them, Ben?
Is it the Black Sea?
Baltic. All right, that's good.
Where's the Black Sea?
Well, it doesn't surround them. It surrounds one country, but go ahead. Anyways. Seeing how much geography you've been doing lately.
Well,
this Ukraine thing, you're like starting to do, your geography lesson.
Well, I mean, it's easy to insult people and say, well, they only learn stuff when stuff happens, but at least we're trying to learn. At least I'm trying to learn it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go off half-cocked to pretend that, like, whatever Joy Reid or like, Sean Hannity tells me is true. I need to figure out what the fuck is true.
Yeah, Sean Hannity, whatever it tells me, I don't believe it's true.
I don't believe what any of the people on TV tell me is true, so I'm like, I need to figure this out on my own. Deschutes.
Deschutes. Back to the beer Deschutes of the night. The Mirror
Brewery.
Pond Pale Ale.
Deschutes Brewery.
From Bend,
right,
Oregon.
Out of St. Petersburg. This is Deschutes Brewery from Bend, Oregon. This is the Mirror Pond Pale Ale. The malts are a two-row crystal Carpalus, which I haven't heard of yet, and a Munich hop as well.
Yeah.
Or a malt, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
the hops are Cascade.
Munich,
alcohol 5.0. The IBUs are 40, so it's got a little bit of bitterness.
Yeah.
Dive into an intricate ecosystem of crisp citrus hops and swirls of caramel malt that's more than meets the eye. A classic American picnic food calls for a classic American pale ale. The malt and hop balance of a good pale ale pairs well with burgers. It's hard to beat Mirror Pale Ale from Deschutes Brewery. Read more.
And there we go.
That's
Wi-Fi is working. That's like a whole article.
That's a whole article.
Would you like to read that whole article for everybody, Ben?
No. Let's see. What else do they have? They got a black
porter.
They got a porter stout.
American Pilsner. Oh, okay. The American Pilsner. We're gonna have to try that one too, Ben, because we're still looking for the crispness.
Yes, and especially
that I'm always in search for. American.
This is version IPA. I think we might have tried.
We've had a few things from Deschutes, and we've had another style of IPA from them. I can't remember which one it was exactly. But it wasn't this one.
They've got a
wowza.
Oh, that one we tried.
Local
the fresh squeezed IPA.
That's the one. The fresh squeezed IPA. And actually, the first IPA that we put together, Ben, was supposed to mimic the flavor of that IPA. And both of them are good.
Yeah, let's try this Deschutes American Pilsner. We should try to see if we can find
that. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
So I mean, it's 5% alcohol by volume. The IBUs are 40. It's an American pale ale. The malt, two row crystal. Carpalus and Munich, and the hops are Cascade.
Yep.
This is allegedly a very standard IPA that goes well with burgers, chips, nachos, that type of thing.
Hot dogs, probably.
Bar food. So let's give it a sniff.
But the color, though, I'm shocked at how dark it is, actually. It's almost like a red-orange. No, I expected a little bit of a lighter color to it. Not much head, though. And when I poured it in, I expected a little bit more head.
No Christmas.
Yeah. No. Well, we'll see if that's the Christmas that I'm in search for, Ben.
Well, you know, can't all be Karlovacko. Or Lashko.
All right. Cheers,
let's give
Ben.
It a sniff.
Let's see how this thing smells. Ooh, it smells nice.
Nice. A little bit lighter than I expected on the nose.
Not as much hoppiness.
I expected a little more citrus, a little more hop on the nose.
But
at IBU 40,
it smells well balanced, though. It's like a well balanced IPA. It's not. It doesn't hit you in the nose with anything specifically.
Tastes great,
bruh.
Less filling. Yeah, I mean it's got a really nice balanced nose. Not too. Not a lot of citrus. Not a lot of hop. Not a lot of not a lot of beer.
Sort of middle of the road for everything. But it's definitely rich enough. I mean, it smells like. Like a light IPA, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's give it a shot. See how it tastes. Cheers, Ben.
Let's do it. Nice.
I like it.
It's got crispness.
It is crisp.
It's got a nice light IPA flavor. I mean,
this
is a really... They hit the nail on the head in their description. This is a summer picnic beer, hot dog, potato chip.
Oh, yeah. This would pair perfect with those things.
I mean, this is you're walking
like,
around in Munich in the summertime.
Oh, this is just like at the LA County Fair. You know, when we used to go.
Yeah, you don't want to go with me anymore because I get drunk and act
Well, I think the last couple of years, because of COVID, it didn't exist. So yeah, we didn't go. So you can't blame me for not going the last couple of years, Ben.
I blame you for not going. We could have went to Pomona and hung out.
Yeah, I guess if you want to drive all the way out to Pomona and hang out in empty fairgrounds, okay.
Well, if you hung out in upstate New York as a kid, you'd think that was pretty cool.
But this is definitely what they claim the beer should be. And it is like a light IPA. It is fresh. It is crisp. I mean, the carbonation is almost perfect, actually.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. And I would want a little bit more Christmas.
It's crisp.
I would want a little bit more Christmas. Mm-hmm. I would want a little bit more Christmas. I would want a little bit more Christmas.
All right. Well, just, well, we're not going to bore our listeners
with
that sound bite. But the Mirror Pond Pale Ale from Deschutes, from Bend, Oregon. I mean, the label itself is very simple. I mean, just look at that. It's like, it looks like somebody just went like on like Microsoft Paint and put it together. Very simple. I mean, if you saw it on the shelf, I mean, the only reason I pulled this off the shelf is because it had high ratings on the shelf. And,
yeah.
And you know, we've had the shoots in the past and, you know,
I'm sorry
we've enjoyed
that.
The beers and, you know, I'm happy that I pulled this one off the shelf.
Yeah.
And this is really good. This is a really good, solid beer for, you know, the summertime. I mean, if you just want a pale ale that's light, that's crisp, that's refreshing, this is it.
Well, this would good. Pair well with just about any yeah. food that mm-hmm. I can think of. That, I mean, other than, you know, sushi or sashimi.
Yeah, I mean,
this would pair well with just about.
But there's a little bit of dryness, on the finish too. Yeah. I mean, it's crisp, and then it kind of like, if you let it linger, there's that little bit of dryness as well. There's just a little bit of bitterness. You know, a nice bit of carbonation, a little bit of hoppy of citrusy notes. To it, and I'm surprised it's that dark, because when it's that dark, you expect a little bit more, you know, oomph,
yeah,
in the flavor and like the flavor, but it's not. It's I mean, you can tell that it's not really high ABV. You know, like a lot of IPAs,
low for an IPA.
Yeah, IPAs are, you know, usually around 7-8%, maybe sometimes even more than that, but usually around there. This one is a little bit lighter. It does taste lighter, and I actually do enjoy that. I mean, it's definitely what they described it to be.
Yeah, I mean, this is a nice summer sit-down beer when you're out walking, you know, you're exploring on a vacation or on a weekend, and you're getting a little tired, you get a little sweaty, you want to sit down, you want to have a little food.
There's a little bit of fruitiness in there,
bang
too.
This beer
there's
out.
There's a nice little bit of fruitiness, too. It's not a citrusy note. I mean, there's some citrusy notes there, but there's like a nice...
Yeah, not much.
Refreshing...
Not much on the citrus notes.
But there's like a nice refreshing fruitiness to it as well. But I do enjoy the carbonation, because some beers have too little carbonation. This one has like almost like the perfect amount from start to finish, from the tip of the tongue down the throat. I mean, it's nice, smooth all the way through.
We'll search for in the East Village in New York City.
No, but it's true. I mean, it's like, you know, some beers will just lack carbonation. If it just had a little bit more carbonation, we might enjoy it more. But this one has like the right amount. I mean, even though when I poured it, there wasn't that much head. I was a little worried. But when it actually goes down, it feels good.
Search for all of these from the East Village in New York City. But yeah, this is a really good one.
I don't even know what the East Village is.
This is a really, really good one.
Mm-hmm. It is good. What? What are you looking at me for?
No reason. Where would you rank this one, Frank?
I would rate this a 9. I mean, it's just a nice, solid, light IPA that, you know, I can definitely go back for more of this. I mean, like in the summertime when it's nice, when it's, I mean, obviously right now it's kind of cold, but when it's 90 degrees outside, this, it's not also not as chilled. I mean, if it chilled just a little bit more, if it was a little bit colder, it would be even better, especially in the summertime. I mean, that's a nice, solid pale ale.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm going to give it a 10.
Yeah.
This is, you know, for a standard IPA, this is about as good as it gets for your, you know, summertime lighter IPA to pair well with literally any food that you would get at a bar, at a sort of food stop mm-hmm. on your journey across the city. This is a really, really quality
IPA. I mean, whatever you're eating. I mean, you know, like I don't usually drink... beer whenever, you know, I can sit down and eat something. I usually drink beer before or after, but not during. But this is something that I can see myself what
I drink beer after and before, but not during.
We don't. I mean, me
but
and you,
I usually don't drink beer.
We both don't.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's like, when I go to your house, your mother's always trying to give me a beer.
Yeah, well, at my house.
Or your parents' house. And I'm like, no, I don't drink beer when I eat. Like, and they always look at me like, what the fuck is wrong
with
you?
When we have like, you know, like the Christmas or Thanksgiving, or, you know, like you're usually over, and me and you both don't.
I don't drink when I eat usually.
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't drink wine. I don't drink beer. I just eat my food
with water.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually with Pellegrino or water. Or and like afterwards.
Just a little bit of Coke, maybe. Just like a, like I'll take a couple of sips just to, you know, wet my whistle, Ben. But that's about it. But with beer, I can't drink beer and eat at the same time. Unless it's like I'm really, like, if I've been drinking for a long period of time and then I want to grab something to eat so I don't get hungover, like, extremely, then I'll just, like, have, you know, like, Del Taco or something.
Yeah, exactly. While I'm drinking.
Yeah.
Because I got my road dog in the car.
Your what?
Also something from the 70s and 80s. A road dog. You don't know what a road dog is? It's you definitely shouldn't do this.
Don't know what that is.
No, you're out. You're having a good time with your friends, partaking in alcoholic beverages, and you're going to drive home, and you take a beer for the ride home, and the beer for the ride home is a road dog.
Oh.
They don't do that anymore.
There's a reason why I don't know what that is.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I've never had one of those. I don't. Yeah. Like, oh,
and neither have I.
Hey, officer, cheers. Would you like one? Or I can pour you one in my glass that I have here in my car, too.
Yeah, definitely a bygone era from the 50s. Well, it was in place as well into the 80s. But
yeah, I don't usually take a doggy bag with me filled with alcohol, Ben. Like, are you going to finish that drink, sir? No, just pour it into this styrofoam container. I'll take it on the road. My road dog.
For the record,
sir.
And for the record,
what the fuck is wrong with you?
And for the record, folks, I was not a road dog person, but I had friends that would ask for a road dog, and I'd say, "Are you serious? Like, is that really what you want to do right now?"
Yeah, I'm sure you've never done it.
No.
Yeah,
I've had a road dog in the car as not the driver, not being the driver, but I never actually took a road dog with me as the driver. I always had that level of common sense.
Okay.
That I didn't want to die a fiery death. Yeah.
Well, tonight,
even in the 80s, you know, I didn't want to die a fiery death.
Tonight, maybe I'll just drink the Aberfeldy on the way home. You know, see how that turns out for me. And I'll like, if there's a cop on
that's
the road.
That's like a Leaving Las Vegas road dog. That's like a bottle of scotch
at the red
in
light,
the cup holder.
At the red light, cop next to me, I'll wink at him and be like, hey.
What are you, Jim Irsay?
18-year-old. They'd be like, bro, 18-year-old, that's fucking good shit right there. Isn't it, cop? Right?
Cop. Hi, cop.
Officer?
I'm not Tony La Russa.
He's like, hey, yo, can I get some of that? Yes, sir.
I'll just pull out, you know, going towards your house tonight after you leave. I'll just see you hanging on the side of the road.
Yeah, with a cop.
with LAPD. Like
LAPD.
With a Glen. He probably has like a Glencairn glass in the car.
Yeah, probably.
He probably just carries a 4-pack just in case.
I mean, what officer or cop or policeman does not? Right, Ben? I mean, they're ready for these situations.
If you run across somebody that's got like a bottle of 21-year-old scotch in the car.
Man, that stuff's expensive. Roll down your window and take a swig. That's what I say.
From my road dog.
Yeah, I never heard that before. Yeah. First time I ever heard road dog.
Yeah, and I didn't partake in the road dog culture.
Yeah.
I just knew it existed.
Yeah. Roadhead? Heard of that?
Yeah.
Road dog? Never.
Yeah. I mean, I always wanted to get
and
home.
You
in one piece.
You were also the passenger during your roadhead incident.
No comment on that one. Unless, of course, you know, my girlfriends were very, very good drivers.
That would be pretty impressive. That would be impressive.
That would be impressive.
The no
most
look,
search for.
No look roadhead. That would be impressive. You know, that's like,
only in a Tesla. That actually has probably happened.
That's probably. Oh, yeah. I'm sure. I'm sure it
probably
has.
Thousands of times, actually.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as you hear the beep, 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 all you have to do is just grab the steering wheel and click it a little bit.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't advise that either.
No.
Although probably far less dangerous than the road dog.
Yes. Yeah. If you're the driver in a Tesla and you have to put it on autopilot for any reason, probably more safe than road dogging it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. For our listeners that are in 2 hours and 7 minutes.
That's actually a short podcast.
Yeah, actually, we've said since 2018 that we were going to try to keep this under 2 hours.
I know. Pretty close.
And we've succeeded on very small number of occasions.
Few.
If you look, 207 is probably one of the shorter ones.
I know.
But we are in the...
But you're going to try to extend it.
The off season. Yeah, I got to get my podcast road dog.
Yeah.
That I have here on the table because the table does not have wheels or an engine. Friday, anything else to add?
Nothing else to add, Ben, except, you know, thank you so very much, everybody out there, for listening. But I'm sure you also have the housekeeping. And then I'll say that after you do the housekeeping. Because we did forget that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And the listeners were very happy that we forgot to say that. We are a show about football, fun, friends, whiskey, and beer reviews.
And road dogging.
And road please head to our website at thirstygold.buzzsprout.com. From there, you can subscribe and listen to all of our past episodes. You get links to the show notes and get links to all the stories that we cover, all the scotches, bourbons, ryes, and cognacs that we review. You can get links to all the podcatchers in the universe. Download the show. Please leave us a review. How many stars, Frank?
5 stars, Ben.
You can email us at podcastthirstygold@gmail.com. You can call us at the number in the show notes. If there's anything you'd like us to discuss, or you have any comments on the show, you can follow us on my mediocre Twitter account at
way better than mine.
Goal Thirst.
Way better than my Instagram.
Friday, I'll post a beer eventually.
Eventually. I know. Seriously, I really need to. Especially this one. This one's good.
Yeah, this one's good.
This one's very good.
And Friday's Instagram is at Thirst. And you can check out all the photography award winning. This has won the Thirst and Goal Artistic Achievement Award every year since 2018.
And they posted some of my work at the Getty.
Yeah, it was a gold medal. You have to take a tram. There's a second.
That's interesting.
There's a second tram. Many of you know the tram at the Getty that'll take you from the parking lot to the Getty. There's a second tram that takes you from the Getty further up the mountain to the Thirst and Goal Artistic Achievement Awards Center.
Yep.
Sponsored by Deschutes Brewery.
Specially built.
Actually not sponsored by Deschutes Brewery. Don't sue us. Sponsored.
These motherfuckers.
Sponsored by the Worldwide Beer Federation.
Yep.
And inside there, you'll see many of the awards that Franny has received over the last 3 years.
Yep.
And those photography achievements are some of the greatest in the world. It is on the level of a Michael Phelps Olympic achievement, a Mark Spitz Olympic achievement,
really,
a Mary
Lou
Retton.
You're really trying to extend this
a Mary
podcast,
Lou Retton
aren't you?
Achievement.
Yeah, fuck the Rembrandts.
Whoever won,
you know, fuck the Rembrandts.
Whoever won something in the last Olympics that I can't remember right now, that woman that won the marathon.
The Caravaggios and all those, it just goes straight to the Thirst and Goal Hall, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could take a picture or you could stand monotonously poking your paintbrush into a canvas for days on end, which seems pretty boring. Taking a picture, much more artistic.
Exactly. Pointillism, Ben.
All right. Anything else to add?
Nothing else to add, Ben, except thank you so very much, everybody out there, for listening.
Thank you all, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.